Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Columbus Blue Jackets signed goaltender Jack Greaves to a three-year, $15 million deal, avoiding arbitration. He went 26-19-9 with a 2.6 goals against average last year. He's the Jackets' second signing in the last 24 hours after forward Danton Heinen inked the one-year deal Wednesday. More NHL, Patrick Kane signed a two-year, $16 million deal to return to the Chicago Blackhawks, where he won three Stanley Cups in 16 seasons. Baseball, Cleveland Guardians host the Minnesota Twins at 1-10. Twins won 10-6-1. Wednesday, but Jose Ramirez drove in two runs in his return from left-hand surgery. Cincinnati Reds are off before visiting the St. Louis Cardinals Friday at 8:15. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/visa. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rothman and Ice. Adam King in for the Iceman today. TLC behind the glass. Good to see you, fellas.
It is an honor to be here alongside Tyler Danberg, alongside Cole, and of course, you. It is the greatest honor of my life.
Of your life?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is what I dreamed of. Cole doesn't even have his headphones on. He doesn't even know the show started yet.
Not really.
No.
Season's greetings. Happy Friday to me. Happy Thursday to the rest of you.
Hey, that's not... You know, I asked him last week. I was like, hey, you and me all week next week. He's like, yep.
I thought so.
Then I learned like...
And then he dipped out on Friday?
Yeah, dipped out.
That's brutal. It.
That's all right.
When you schedule your PTO months in advance, it's tough to keep track when those weeks actually roll around.
You know, I'm not a big... a lot of people like to take their PTO in spurts. They like random little Wednesdays mm-hmm. to sprinkle in. They'll sprinkle in like a Wednesday, yeah. Thursday. If I'm on PTO, I can assure you one thing. I am not in the state of Ohio.
That's because you've gone to Europe three times since I started working
here. You're a vacationer, man.
It's not even, like, I will find a place to go. Like, if I'm going to take paid time off, it's because we have planned a trip to go somewhere. Even if it's only, I'll do a 48-hour trip. I'll be the guy that gets up at 3 a.m. in the airport and flies home at 11:59 the night before I got to be back at work.
To have that youthful exuberance. Oh, look at the kid, just jet setting all around. I am actually a little jealous because I don't do that. Because there really is nothing worse than a staycation. It's okay. I'm not saying it. At times it's okay. The problem is when you know this job for me, and it doesn't really end at 2:54 and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like we do stick around a little bit
mm-hmm.
and we plan stuff for the next day. But when you're off and you're paid to be off and the clock hits 3 o'clock every day, like that's it for me. That was the day.
That's it. Now you've lost it.
Yeah.
Now you've just
anything after that, I would have been off anyway.
Yeah. That's tough. That's an interesting way to look at it. See, for me, it's different because I get off at 11 o'clock at night. So it's like, let me tell you, if I'm out and about on a 7 o'clock, it's a great day.
Let me tell you about the worst schedule in television news.
Okay.
And this happens, and some people luck into it, and some people don't. So when you come into a TV station as, let's just say, a weekend anchor or a general assignment reporter, somebody that has to work the weekend news mm-hmm. and also work 3 days during the week, it is so key if in sports to have that Thursday, Friday off and not Monday, Tuesday. It's equivalent of like a day and a half almost. Because if you're off on Wednesdays after the 6 p.m. news and you don't have to be back until Saturday at 2:30 back in the day, I don't know how it is now. So think about that. So Wednesday to Thursday, Friday, and almost 3 days off, really. So you're getting Wednesday night, you're getting Thursday and Friday, and half of Saturday. Now think about this. If you get Monday and Tuesday off, and you have to work to the 11:30 spot on Sunday night and then be back in at 9 a.m. on Wednesday.
Mm.
You've lost what? A day and a half.
Yep. You're talking.
What are your days off?
Wednesday, Thursday. This is my off.
And what time do you have to be back in Friday?
I get in about 1 o'clock.
All right. So
I'm fine. I love my schedule. But it gives me enough time to. You know, the only thing that stinks is you don't really have a Friday night because of the 11 p.m., you don't really have a Friday night.
That's apparently, you've like created Friday nights all over the place for you when PTO, I'm going to fly here, fly there.
No, so listen.
You're not really a days of the week guy anyway. You'll just go when you want to go.
I'm going to get on a plane.
You'll jet away.
I like airports.
That was my transition, but go ahead.
No, jet away. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, we're jetting away.
I like airports too.
Okay, thanks. That was a great conversation. What's your jet away? What is your tease here?
Jet Greaves.
Oh, yes.
Jet Greaves.
He
3 years, $5 million.
He will be sticking
to the arbitration.
Around.
Yes. This is a well-deserving guy. Now, would I be able to tell you that I absolutely think that he's a number one lifetime goalie? I don't know that. I think what we've seen a guy that is going to work really hard. He's really talented. He's not a big goalie. He's only 25 years old, but, you know, 6'1", 180 or whatever he is. But this is a very interesting signing because in my mind, and I know how the game is played with arbitration, you go low or you go high, we go low, but they went very low.
$2 million was crazy.
When they offered him what they offered him, I was like, ooh, that doesn't go over very well. And it turns out that they wound up meeting in the middle. That it was a good spot for them. So he
wanted what, $7 million?
Well, it was $7.5 million for a year.
Yeah.
And he winds up getting the 3x5. So, but when they offered him $2.5 million, now, if you ask Jet Greaves right now, okay, 2 years ago, this is what you're going to get, he'd be doing cartwheels. Like, well, it'd be awesome. But
so let me ask you this. Do you think that Jet Greaves, because $7 million is franchise goalie money. Do you disagree? I mean, that's the low end of franchise goalie money. I think that you are, with this, $2 million, you were lowballing him. But meeting in the middle at $5 million, you're saying, listen, Jet, we want to see what else you have to offer here, and we want you to stick around. We think you could be our guy. But it doesn't say we think you are the dream goalie of the future.
I think this is where what he was getting paid before.
Yeah.
I don't think you could probably offer him much more than that. That's why this is a good deal for both. It really is. It's a good deal for both. Like I said, he would have taken this. It's not an insult. We don't know whether he's number one franchise guy.
We don't.
Like, we don't know.
We don't.
Like, he's played enough games, got a great glove. He's pretty clutch. We'll see how he handles the workload. What, he played 55 games last year? So we'll see if he can handle more than that. We'll see how this impacts Elvis and
where
that goes.
That's what I was going to ask. What does this do with Elvis?
Well, it certainly doesn't make him happy, but I don't think this has any... Elvis was going to have to earn his way in or out of here anyway.
Yeah.
So that's where this is probably headed, but... The one that the Jackets really have to get going is Fantilli.
Yeah,
and he's going to get paid, but don't play with the fire on this too much. Adam Fantilli is going to get paid. I'm not really worried about that, but what's probably happening there is that they probably offered him somewhere between $8 and $9 million. And guess what?
Not enough.
Not even close to enough.
Not even in the realm of what
they're hoping. And everyone says they've got all this cap space. It's going to get eaten up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Fantilli, in my mind, is going to get paid minimum $13 million.
And now you're also trying to balance out what is the future of Zach Werenski.
Well, we don't have to worry about that for a year.
Well, but if you're signing Fantilli out for a long contract, you're trying to make sure that you could, because you want to make sure that you can still pay Zach what he wants, because it sounds like he's...
That's going to be a lot, too.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I don't know how you handle your finances, but you cannot only worry about today. You have to worry about next week, next year, the 401k, what you're think 40 years out, Rothman. That's what you got to think about, all right?
How does Adam
Fantilli pan out here in 2066? We got to make sure that the math is mathing right there.
Well, I'll tell you what the math says to me, that if they can pay him up to 7 years, they'd want to. I don't think he's going to want to do that. I think if you put a contract in front of Fantilli.
I think 4 years. I would do 4 years.
4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Yeah.
4 to 5 years.
Better for him. He's only 25 years old. Yeah. Why wouldn't he want, for his next contract, Well, and then, by the way, then he decides whether he wants a bridge contract or the free agent years. So my point is, if you put a contract in front of him right now for $91 million.
Do you have a calculator on your phone? Is that what you're doing over here?
Yeah, that's right.
You're doing a little math?
You don't have a calculator on your phone?
I do.
What kind of phone do you have?
I do, but it's just interesting to me that...
What did you want me to do? Get out the... I have the pen in the legal
pad
here.
Yeah.
Handwrite
this
stuff?
What's wrong with our society. You reach for the phone, not for the pencil. Back in my day, we used to grab the pen, you draw it, you carry the one over. Now it's just, you just yell at your phone, you say, hello, Siri, and then it does its thing.
I've got enough problems. I don't need to worry about whether I get the math right. So,
well, now Siri thinks I'm trying to talk to her. I don't want you right now.
If you turn the Wi-Fi off, does that mean the phone can't listen? Or is it always
listening? The phone is always listening.
Like, I mean, if I turn the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi...
Let me tell you something.
Let's get that off, that off.
No. The phone...
Now I'm good?
No. You ever sit there... Sometimes I'll sit there with my phone and I'll say, wow, I'm really interested in a Jeep Wrangler just to see how long it takes for Instagram to tell me that I'm interested in it.
All right, let's see
it.
What happens.
All right.
Let's do the test over the next 2.5 hours.
All right, give me something to say that's not a Jeep Wrangler, because I've done that one before. Something random. Give me... it's got to be a product, though, because it's got to be an ad.
Can it be a... I don't know who does all the advertising, but you want it to be a dealership? Like
car? Anything. Okay. Anything.
Smoothie King.
All right, I could really go for a good smoothie. Smoothie King sounds delicious. There you go. Let's see what happens.
Now, what could happen?
Next time will be three breaks from now. I'll be scrolling through, and what do you know?
What will you be scrolling on, though?
The Instagram or the Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if Smoothie King, how much they advertise.
It doesn't matter. My phone will tell me.
You think a smoothie is going to pop up in your feed at some point in the next 2.5 hours?
At some point in the next 2.5 hours.
Great. I'm not going to take that bet, because you know...
At some point, it's going to be like, hey, you wanted a smoothie? And it may, you know what, the other thing? It may not be Smoothie King. It may just be a smoothie.
Okay.
It may be a smoothie company. Well,
then you can't prove it. You can't prove that, Rusty, whether that was real then.
People who are worried about, like, oh my gosh, everybody's listening and watching.
Let's find out. We could have done something a little more provocative. Maybe we'll think of something during the break.
I don't think I want to do that.
Let's revisit the other bet, too.
This is my cellular device.
We're going to revisit another bet and who the odd man out is. You'll hear that next. Rothman.org.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Good deal of sunshine continues for the rest of the day. Comfortable out there with low humidity. Highs reach the upper 70s. Some passing high clouds develop tonight. Another coolish night with lows in the upper 50s. For your Friday, partly sunny, just a touch warmer, but still not bad. Lower 80s for your Friday. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Maddie's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rothman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
You like Big Brother?
Never watched it.
Love Big Brother. Great show.
You watch a lot of reality TV, I don't believe. It's set up for that kind of stuff.
First of all, it's just a bunch of people in a house with cameras on them. So intriguing.
Yeah, but they know the cameras are there.
Well, yeah, but eventually...
So they're performing.
No, but you can't perform for 100 days straight. Nobody can. Because after about a week...
Is that what you said in your last contract negotiation?
Yeah, I can't do it.
No one can perform.
No one can perform 100 days straight.
Right.
No one. I just said no one can perform. And that's... Where's the gong there, or whatever you guys do?
He's asleep.
He's asleep at the wheel.
Okay.
He just gave you there.
Yeah,
it is.
I didn't think it deserved a gong.
That's what I was thinking of.
Oh yeah, the boing.
The boing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are around here. All right. I just work here. You teased ahead to our
bet. Actually, I don't think this is a foregone conclusion you're winning this bet.
Okay, well, I think it is.
So I mistakenly bet Adam that the Browns would win 6 games or more before the Myles Garrett trade. That's on me. I somewhat maybe asked for a reprieve on that, but I'm kind of glad you didn't give it to me.
Do you know right now what the over-under win total is?
Yeah, I know exactly what it is. It's 5.5.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and guess what the favorite is?
6.
The over.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's because a lot of people like to think that winning six games, it's hard to not win six games sometime. But there's just not six games on the schedule that they're going to win. And also, how is it that I'm sitting here on July 23rd and I still couldn't tell you who in the world is going to take the first snap under center?
That doesn't matter.
It does.
Why?
It does.
Doesn't matter to them. In fact, you might want to be the second guy going.
Because you think the first guy's just getting a couple games and doesn't work
out. No, I think the schedule is harder out of the gate. And they're not even going to be in rhythm. I'd almost rather be the second guy.
How do you know that there will be a second guy?
You know, because you say they're going to suck. So clearly there will be a second guy.
But.
Guy behind the guy.
Don't, in the grassy knoll.
In the grassy knoll. You ever been to the grassy knoll, Cole?
No.
You ever been there, Rob?
Yeah, it's eerie.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird because people go out to the X and take a picture, and I'm like, okay, that's a little much.
It's bizarre.
Smiling with their thumbs up. Like,
well, that's crazy. It's true. People do it.
Here's where an assassination took place.
Back
to the left.
After going to the grassy knoll, I don't completely disparage the conspiracy theories that there was another shooter, but.
You're a little worried about this bet, I think, now.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you are.
Brothman said, we're done talking about that.
Yeah. The quarterback, the new season, I know, same weakness. I get it.
Adam, how do you feel about the military-industrial complex?
I don't think that I think the Browns will lean into the fact that Deshaun Watson is their quarterback, and Deshaun Watson is a mess, and they're not. I don't think they'll pull him. I think they'll play.
No. That would be so counterintuitive.
What?
If you played him and he stunk and you kept playing him?
I think the only... What do you think? You don't think he stinks right now?
I'm just saying they have to find out what they have in Shedeur.
No,
only way Deshaun keeps playing is if they're playing well with him.
I don't want to add a bet to a bet, but
you think they want to like showcase him enough to move him along?
Yes, exactly. Not to trade him, but I think to make everybody feel like, all right, this is the end of our endeavor with Deshaun Watson. We tried because you're telling me.
I don't think the fans are holding the front office hostage and saying, you paid him all this money, you better play him. They don't even want him played, I don't think.
I think someone in the front office is. That's what I'm saying. I think there is somebody that is saying he needs to pay, or he needs to play. We paid him this much. And so they're going to trot him out there. And they're going to say, see, we played him.
But what does that do for them?
It gets whoever it is. Somebody is clearly making Deshaun Watson play in this game or play for this team.
I don't think that's it.
I do. I think
they don't have a great answer at quarterback, and they still have a viable guy in him, and he's healthy, and they want to see if they're in the competition business. They want to see if he can be the guy.
It makes absolutely no sense for Deshaun Watson to play this year. Zero. Yet, here we are. So,
it only makes sense. I'm with you most of the way, because I said a long time ago that it was counterintuitive, that if he played, how well would he have to play for you to reinvest all the millions that it would take to keep him? But that's presuming that he's going to have a place to go when he's a free agent. Like, my mind tells me that Deshaun Watson would want a fresh start somewhere, that they would want to move him along, and that they'll either go into the 27 draft and take a quarterback, or Shedeur will give them enough hope where they don't have to. Like, I think that's the ideal situation. If he plays well enough and he plays a lot better than Shedeur and they feel like they can use their ammunition in the draft to build around him, that's going to take a lot of guts. That's going to take a lot of guts from what we're talking about, which is how much they paid him before and then how much future they really think he has. But then he has to ask himself, is this the best deal I'm going to get? And he may play that off the Browns and try to get more money from somebody else. Now, I don't know how many options he'll have. Maybe Cleveland would be his best option if they offered him. But I do think that it's okay if he looks a lot better than Shedeur to play him. Like, the team around him will know who's better. I don't love the idea, but this is where they are and this is who they are. But, you know, aren't you a little bit curious to see if he has anything?
No.
Nothing.
I've seen it. I have seen this experiment. This is not. We've played this game a million times. He's not going to show back up and be the Deshaun Watson that we saw right out of college. It's not going to happen. And if it does, I will gladly eat my words and you will eat my steak dinner. But it is insane what they are doing in Cleveland, to the point where I think it is incredibly hard to even pretend to be excited for the year for Browns fans. And I think that is what's so sad. You know, that is what Cleveland has done with trading Myles Garrett and then obviously trotting Deshaun Watson out there, is that you have thrown away a season. There is nobody up in Cleveland like, guys, we could do it this year. This could be us.
But even with Garrett, it was a throwaway. That's the whole point.
Because they refused to invest in a quarterback. They are one quarterback away.
When you say refuse to invest, that means that there was somebody they could get and didn't get, and because they refused to do it.
I think there's
been no other franchise in the league that's tried to get quarterback play more than them.
Okay.
It hasn't worked.
Quickly. What the Browns do is try to buy everything on sale and then see if it'll act as a full market value.
They didn't pay a sale price for Deshaun Watson.
I understand that. And that blew up in their face. That's the only time they've ever gone and tried to do that. But since then, they've just swallowed. They've swallowed that horrible mistake and said, well, maybe we can get an eighth round guy that's equivalent to a starter in the NFL.
Listen, they've just screwed up. That's all. It's not like that's the way to put
it.
Could they have McNabb? Yes. Could they have had Roethlisberger? Yes. Could they have had Aaron Rodgers? Yes. They could have had all these guys.
Do you not think they could have
Patrick Mahomes? They could have had him.
Do you not think they could have traded Myles Garrett for a franchise quarterback?
Name the guy.
You could.
I don't think so. Not at Garrett's age. And what team is giving up a franchise quarterback that's not on a winning team? Like, that would be willing to give up the ultimate position for a defensive lineman.
All right.
Even
I'm
going to
think on this, and I'm going to pose a couple teams that could have traded and gotten a quarterback for the future here.
Chef of the future. I'll be more than happy to hear one that they could have called a team and said, we'll give you Myles Garrett if you give us your starting franchise quarterback.
I didn't. Okay.
Ooh. No, name him. I'm very curious.
After the break.
Well, we'll have Jake Burns coming up after the break.
Well, then we'll save it for
Here's the deal. In 99, when they came back, they had the number one overall pick. McNabb went number two. In 04, they had the number six pick. They took Kellen Winslow. They could have had Ben. In 05, they had the number three pick. They took Braylon Edwards. Aaron Rodgers was at 24. In 17, they picked Myles Garrett instead of Patrick Mahomes. Or Deshaun Watson then.
You could have
actually had Deshaun then.
They traded
then.
The Deshaun Watson pick.
Let me ask you this.
They had number 12 and traded it.
Yeah.
This is just
They traded the Deshaun Watson pick.
They traded the Carson Wentz pick.
But Mahomes went 10.
Yes.
And they had the number one overall pick.
They chose to sign RG3 instead of drafting Carson Wentz at number two.
So just chalk it up to they screwed up. All these years. Not that they've refused. I mean, so I'm more intrigued on who, because I've never heard anybody say that, hey, why didn't they dangle Myles Garrett to get a great quarterback?
I just didn't think it was possible. Do you think the Houston
Stroud,
Texas was?
Yeah. Was he a franchise quarterback? Do you believe he's a franchise quarterback?
I do. The first name that popped up when I hate.
Jake Burns in 2 minutes. Browns film breakdown. We'll ask him these poignant questions. Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, our friend Jake Burns, Browns film breakdown. Great to have you back, Jake. How you been?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so a lot of people realistically think that this is a pseudo transition season. New coach, new coordinator, you have all sorts of stuff going on. Garrett's gone. You've got the quarterback shuffle. And maybe this year really isn't about wins. It's about positioning themselves for either next year's draft, or I guess best case scenario is you do think you have a future quarterback on your roster, and then you can take all the ammunition and start building around it again. I think it's going to be one of the gutsiest, riskiest things to do if it is Deshaun you're reinvesting in. I don't even know what that would look like because the team's not going to be outstanding. But you give me your take on this competition at quarterback, and does it go deeper than the two of them, or is it something that this is going to be a combination platter that we see all season long?
It's probably the combination platter. I mean, in theory, there are, I think, organizations who have made it very clear about their intentions this year. Think about like the Dolphins, obviously, the Cardinals, some of these others who I think are living in a world where they're kind of outwardly saying we are looking to probably lose a year here and get the highest asset for a premium draft coming in 2027. The Browns, I think, are a little bit in that space, but I think that the way Todd Monken is acting, he's not young and he's getting his first real chance to be a head coach at the NFL level. And in theory, we could sit here and say, hey, the best thing for the Browns to do is go 3-14 and have the top pick or the second pick in a 3-quarterback draft. And maybe you're using that Rams pick in the last part of the first round to, you know, add another premium first rounder, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think Todd Monken is operating in a space that says like going that way is something that we are, you know, feeling comfortable doing. At least he's not acting like it, because as you look at it and the way that Deshaun Watson's contract is structured and what we've all been able to kind of predict here is that he's a cut next offseason with the June 1st designation, where you're spacing out the $80+ million over 2 years, right? Pretty simple. But they're also giving him what seems like a real opportunity to start again, which would kind of indicate Todd Monken, who likes a mobile quarterback, who probably remembers a lot of the good from Deshaun Watson back in his day, you know, the 2020 season and before, and thinks he can get more out of him. Whereas I think if this were just an obvious, almost think back for Browns fans to 2017, where you took Deshaun Kizer in the second round and you trotted him out there the entire season to see if he could be the guy for you. And then ultimately, if he wasn't the guy, you're probably going to lose enough games that you had a chance to pick the first or second quarterback in the next draft. That, to me, I keep figuring out all you can about Shedeur Sanders, feels pretty logical. But they're acting in a way that Todd Monken smells to me like he thinks he needs to win games and continue to impress ownership to continue to keep this job. I think the front office has put themselves in a position via the Miles trade and asset accumulation they've done, including picking up additional fourth round picks next draft, are looking at having everything they need to maybe move up and take a guy if they do win some games. So unfortunately, I do feel like, or fortunately, because the schedule indicates a situation where they could win enough games to be, relatively competitive. There's winnable games on that schedule and there's very minimal travel and there's not a bunch of like those rough schedule type games where you're like on short weeks and stuff like that's very favorable. So they could win plenty of games if they put competent play around the quarterback, which I think is certainly improved. And that puts them in a little bit of like straddling the line on both sides where this could go either direction. But they are certainly entertaining to the root of your question, both quarterbacks finding the field. I mean, they think it's an open competition. Monken didn't want it to be an open competition. He kind of hinted that he wanted it to be wrapped up before training camp, but both guys seem firmly entrenched in getting opportunities throughout camp and into the preseason, and I guess we'll just see how it shakes out.
All right, I got to ask you this because we were having this debate in the last segment, and I was getting destroyed for it, but I stand by it. I think that this starts and ends at quarterback in the NFL. I don't think I'm a crazy person for saying that. I think every team, you can't win without a quarterback. So the Browns haven't taken a quarterback in the first round since Baker Mayfield in 2018. We're going on almost 8 years. It feels like the Browns have looked in every direction. Obviously, you know, it didn't work out with the trade with Deshaun Watson. Why not try to swing again? And like, do you think that if the Browns had approached the Houston Texans about CJ Stroud, do you think they would have taken interest in that trade?
The Texans or the Browns? I mean, I think the Browns have poked around. It's interesting to me that they have not made any move. Like, there have been some rehabilitation projects on the market. You know, think like Anthony Richardson, the former first rounder.
Exactly.
There are guys out there, but they have decided to hold off. I mean, to the point of your original point, which is like, can you win in the NFL without a guy? I think you can win without a real guy, like a really elite guy. You can win. You can Sam Darnold this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Browns are doing their best to say, we are going to put as much talent on both defense and offense as we possibly conceivably can to make this transition, whether it is, again, if it works out that Deshaun Watson reverses time and becomes a version of the 2020 guy, or if Shador gets his opportunity earlier or later and proves that he deserves more opportunity and he makes the most of it and gets a chance to go into the next year being the guy, they would take that outcome. Nobody would deny that outcome working out. But what I think they have done here is said, all right, we have been financially incapable of taking a guy in the draft since Deshaun Watson has like fallen off the cliff, right? 23, he gets the big injury. Cause you thought like, again, yeah. 23, he kind of had some moments, but then he gets hurt, that shoulder injury. Then he comes back in 24. So you weren't really taking a guy. The first year I thought they could was last year when they could have gotten after Jackson Dart at certain points in the draft, but they weren't in love with him, universally aligned on him. So they did not. It's clear they did not like Ty Simpson as much as some folks tried to like, you know, say whatever, whatever. I just think that their plan has been leading to the 27 draft. Now, if you want to believe that this is the Haslam all in on Arch Manning theory, or they like Dante Moore a lot, or they're interested in some other up and comer, a CJ Carr or whoever, you know, you can go, the list is long, right? But like, I think that their position has been influence an influx of young talent. The Browns went from, ESPN does a nice little article about under 25 talent, and the Browns were 29th last year in under 25 talent in the NFL. So to be as bad as they were last year with no quarterback solution and 29th in under 25 talent, that's pretty bad. Now this year they're up to fourth in that ranking with a bunch of blue chip guys, a bunch of young players, and they have spent the entire offseason putting themselves in a position that puts themselves around the quarterback far superior to what they were last year. Now you got to get guys to develop. Spencer Fano has to prove he can play. The two young wide receivers have to prove they can play, et cetera, et cetera. But what they're trying to do is make it so that if they do go into next offseason thinking, all right, we're picking wherever, whether that's needing to take the assets that they've accumulated and move up, or their own pick organically falls in the spot that they're able to take a guy, that they have enough talent around the quarterback to ease that transition and give them a chance to be successful early on. I give them credit for them putting themselves into a better position based on, again, A, dealing with the fallout of Deshaun Watson, never figuring it out and failing health, and then putting themselves now into a spot where if they do go to the 27 draft, organically their pick could work out, but they also now have enough assets in the Rams first, second, and third over the next 3 years, their own asset accumulation of some extra mid-round picks to go after a team, say, Malik Willis has a great year and the Dolphins don't want a quarterback, so they're willing to slide back four or five picks, or the Titans with Cam Ward end up being bad again, but Cam proves, you know, there's a lot of like teams around the league, the Raiders and such, that have young quarterbacks that the Browns fans should be watching and making like, yeah, that we want that team's quarterback to be the guy, so that they're willing to, because not only do you have to have the assets, which they do, they need a willing trade partner. So that is also a part of it. So I think that they're saying, we're going to give these two guys one more chance this year because we didn't find a solution that met what we thought was giving up assets. We have a plan for an exit to Sean Watson's contract, and then we're looking at figuring out whoever they want to pursue and finding that opportunity in 27. Is it going to work out? I don't know. You know, it's been 25, 26 years now of this sort of stuff not going right. But I at least see what their vision is. And they have put themselves, to their credit, in a place I think that they have the ability to not just be reactive to their own situation, but they can get aggressive and be proactive about pursuing a guy without destroying like three straight years of drafts. Like, they have enough assets, I think, now that they can pair some things together and still make some meaningful picks, not only in 27, obviously, because you would go up and get the quarterback, but then you would also still have enough stuff in 28 and 29 that you wouldn't have a repeat of what it was with Deshaun Watson, where you were giving up three first-round picks.
Yeah, man, they've had this conversation for a long time. Jake, good stuff, my friend. Thanks for jumping on. You know we'll hit you up during camp. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Very much appreciate you having me.
You got it. Jake Burns, Browns Film Breakdown on the Brian Heating Coin Systems Fangist Hotline. Then the other thing becomes, if you're positioning yourself for 27, then it doesn't make sense for Monken to feel any pressure, because the marching orders will be to not win games, not to win games.
I just think if
Haslam's dream is getting Arch Manning, have that whole, that vibe with the Mannings, if that's his dream, then good luck.
I think that the problem is you're in a weird middle ground right now where you're talking about six games, which isn't going to get you the first overall pick. And it's going to put you
five
at nine.
Wins, four wins.
He
might
said
not
something
do
about
it.
Using the late first round pick as a quarterback. That's not going to get you the guy you need.
Unless,
and that's what the Browns have continued to do is try to bargain shop for a quarterback after spending it all on Deshaun Watson.
unless they get lucky, which their luck would have to change to get lucky, because it's just not, I mean, Baker over Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to kill him for Manziel, because it's not like Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr have lit the world on fire.
I think they took a shot on Manziel. I think that was smart.
So it's really, every team can have a history of missed opportunities, but theirs seems to be longer than others. We'll come back. We'll stick with quarterback Aaron Rodgers dropping the ultimate grudge. Rothman.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot, and you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan.
Wow, you got Behrens to record a little intro.
I don't think we even had to pay him for that.
Wow, that is impressive. Michael Behrens, he's a big drone guy. You ever fly a drone?
No.
He likes to just run around and just fly his drone for hours on end getting video, and that just seems... I feel like I would last...
So kites are gone.
Yeah, kites are done.
Okay.
I feel like it would take me all of 4 seconds.
They had their run.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that illegal in some areas?
See, that's the thing. There's also so many rules, but I have no doubt that I would break the most expensive drone in the world in about 2 seconds. Like, I would fly that thing up there, I'd lose sight of it, and the next thing I know, it would be on the middle of 270, and they'd be like, well, you're going to jail, King. And that would be the end of it.
How expensive are those things?
The drones?
Yeah.
Not cheap, Bob.
And what's the... So the fun of it is what? They're taking video or pictures, or what's he doing with it?
I'm sorry. Are you 900 years old?
No,
what do you mean they're taking... Well, they're video camera,
I know what they can do. I'm just trying to talk about a civilian flying one. What's the appeal there?
To get your videos. I don't know.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. I know production teams and TV, and I've seen it at work. I'm just wondering what a normal person who buys a drone, what they're trying to accomplish.
Let me ask you this, okay? As a normal person, have you ever seen what the top of the Leveque Tower looks like?
No. I was up.
Get yourself a drone. Yeah. Go fly it up there. You see those people that climbed the Empire State Building?
Can I walk up?
Yeah, you know, but you can't see the outside. You know the people that climbed the Empire State Building? They're so stupid. They could have just gotten a drone to see what it was like up there. But, you know, now they had to climb all the way up there and get proposed.
I can't even watch those videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I get so...
I love it.
No. The heights and all that.
What's the family that does the walking?
The family that does the walking.
You know, the family that
their fingers do the walking.
What are you doing like with your fingers?
You mean like the flying Walenda brothers or what?
No, there's a family. It might be the Walenda.
Why
do
you sound like Brian Kelly?
It's
there was a family in there.
That's what I heard. Where am I?
I'm here with my family.
It's good.
But you're talking about like the
tightrope walker buildings.
I thought those were the flying Walendas, or I.
The Walendas brothers.
No, there was a movie called The Walk that was based on. Oh, that was another dude.
Family of trapeze artists?
This guy nailed it. He said it's to pretend you're a bird, Anthony. You got to pretend like you're a bird.
No, we could put a GoPro on a peregrine falcon and let him fly around a little bit. That'd be fine.
Also, the other day I was on the golf course, the sidebar. There were these two hawks just standing right next to me.
AJ?
It was AJ and Bobby Carpenter.
Right.
And no, they were just sitting there and they didn't move. And I had to not play my golf ball. I just let it go. That was gone. I was like, well, because they just, that was their ball now. Anyway, Nick.
Do you know my very first story? My very first general assignment news story when I got to Channel 6 was to go to the Rhodes Tower and go up there and do a story on the peregrine falcons that lived up there in Columbus.
So you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Wasn't that afraid of heights back then.
What is a peregrine falcon?
Peregrine.
Peregrine falcon.
I don't know the difference between them and the ones that live in Atlanta.
Well, that's just a hawk.
Well, I don't think it's just a hawk.
I mean, that
there
just
has
looks
to
like
be a
hawk.
Difference.
In case you're looking
one's
out there
a falcon,
and you're like,
one's
look
a
like?
Hawk.
If you're like, oh, what does it look like? Think of a hawk. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah, but
It looks like a hawk that's okay. A Steelers fan. It's got yellow eyes, yellow
feet.
But
a if we made the analogy like a football team, the Falcon's going to be the wide receiver and the Hawk's going to be more of the fullback. Am I wrong?
I mean, this is Peregrine. It's a Paraguay Falcon. This Paraguay Falcon is like dive bombing in this picture. He looks like
He looks like
a B-2 bomber.
That's right. They got speed.
They got
raw speed.
Raw speed.
I don't know the exact difference, but they were living up there at the Rhodes Tower. I think they still do.
Did you introduce yourself?
I certainly did. I greeted them.
And they said,
I didn't bring them any food, but they were fine with me being up there. And we took some video, and this was before drones. This was old school.
This is PD.
We went all the way up there.
PD, pre-drone.
I wanted to get to the story.
What did you tease in this segment? It wasn't Falcons versus... wasn't Falcons versus whatever you said.
It was...
Somebody in the YouTube chat says the Walendas Rothman is right.
Oh, it is. It's the Lawinda family. Lawinda.
Walenda.
Walenda.
And the Peregrine Falcons.
Paraguay Falcons.
You're in broadcasting.
Oh, the Paraguay Falcons are the fastest animal on Earth. Did you know that?
Wait, what?
That's what somebody said.
And thank you. What? Who is that?
Huckleberry Grin said they're the fastest animal.
Huckleberry, thank you for at least backing my play there on that there's a difference between a falcon and a hawk.
Just know... they dive at over 200 miles per hour.
All right, there you go.
Here's the best part. Whoa. I can't confirm to you that Huckleberry Grin's facts are accurate, but I'm sharing them as fact.
I literally just typed in fastest animal in the world, and the AI overview, as we learned yesterday, immediately says the Peregrine Falcon is the fastest animal in the world. When diving to catch prey, it reaches staggering speeds of over 240 mph.
It's like the cheetah of the sky.
It's like a hawk.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you. That's very nice.
Thank you. Aaron Rodgers' relationship with his family is what I wanted to get to.
It's coming
full circle.
It is.
We got to teach people about Peregrine Falcons.
And I do believe, well, first we have to teach people how to say it.
Paraguay Falcons.
Then we can worry about what they are and what they do.
Where can they be found?
At top of the Rhodes Tower, I told you.
Okay, so I'm actually intrigued here because I don't know the whole story about why Rodgers didn't talk to his family, but I know
There's some background on that.
Okay, is that coming up in the next break?
You know, his brother is on ESPN.
His brother was on The Bachelor.
His brother married the girl from The Bachelor, correct?
Oh, that's right. I don't think he might have been on it, but he definitely...
He was on The Bachelorette.
That's right.
And she picked him.
Yeah.
I do believe they got married. After the final rose.
What is her name? That's going to bug me.
Her name was JoJo.
Did it?
I don't watch reality TV. I'm too good for that. I didn't watch it.
I read, though.
And Jordan married a JoJo?
I prepared for the story.
Okay.
That's called prepping for the show.
Like me.
It's for people that show up before 11:48 and a half.
I've been doing this for 5 years, and I just got roasted for the Browns. I was here at 45. I just didn't come... Tap you on the back there, Cole.
No, I watched you walk in. I looked up at the clock.
The over-under was 44 and a half.
Yeah, the overhit.
The overhit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. We thought you were going to get an under this week.
Fish needs to resend that email about...
Well, it wasn't really. It was kind of an unwritten rule. But yeah, his rift with his family
I can find the
email.
Yep.
It's not necessary. Adam came in on his day off.
Let's
be kind.
Did I not call in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
About 11:12.
It was 11 a.m.
So are you guys taking bets?
I did say.
You guys playing cards?
Starbucks in my hand.
I found the email.
All right, don't read it now. Let's have some clock integrity here.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the top of the hour. We're going to come back. I do think there is some interest here because it makes me believe that Aaron Rodgers wants this season to be his walk-off, his piece, and I think it's all coming full circle. Live better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Jet won't be taken off anywhere else. The Columbus Blue Jackets avoided arbitration with goaltender Jack Greaves, sending him to a three-year, $15 million deal. He was the club's fifth 25-game winner in the net last year. More NHL, showtime again in Chicago, as Patrick Kane signed a two-year deal with the Blackhawks. Baseball today, Cleveland Guardians host the Minnesota Twins at 1:10. Minnesota's Taj Bradley faces Cleveland's Gavin Williams. Cincinnati Reds are off before three games in St. Louis starting Friday. Soccer, per reports, Columbus native and Team USA midfielder Sebastian Berhalter is transferring from Vancouver to Middlesbrough in the second tier of English football. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/visa. Breaking sports news when it happens right here with a fan, Ohio's sports destination.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
Second hour of the program. Mick Walker, Letterman Rowe, is going to jump on at 1:30. We'll talk Buckeye recruiting. Missed out on the running back, and how impactful will that be moving forward? We'll talk to him at 1:30. 10 TV's Adam King in for the Iceman today. Anthony Rothman, TLC at the switches. Do you guys remember when we were talking about the drone stuff? And
you mean last segment?
Well, it was... Was that last segment or a couple segments ago?
That was last segment.
And so Trevor Bauer was the one that cut himself on the drone blade, right?
I've never heard that story.
You never heard that story?
No, sure he did. Cut himself on a drone?
Yeah.
Was that in a playoff series against Toronto?
Deal. It was a big deal. Yes. Yeah. Oh, TD weighing in. Oh, nice.
I like it.
Yeah. You know he knows.
I wonder if TD
knows. Oh, not during the game. No, wait.
No, not during
not
the game.
During the game. He wasn't playing with his drone in the, the dugout.
They've got drones flying around everywhere. Listen, when you go out to the memorial, if you get intrigued, watch how close those drones fly to those golfers. Because somebody's going to get nicked one.
Who's piloting those things?
That's what they have like these AR glasses. Anyway, continue.
Well, then they owe me some royalty.
That's every glass is
one of the, do you guys know, like about 9-10 years ago, one of his drones was missing? And he was a big enthusiast of the drones, as is your boy Michael Behrens. Mm-hmm. And he was flying this remote control deal, and he lost it in a park where it was like zipping around trees and other obstacles, and the camera was attached, and he lost it, came up missing. He was unable to locate the drone. He posted a message on Twitter asking the person who took it to return it. You ever remember that story? He goes, I don't know what park this is in Cleveland. Hey, Clegg Park, drone thief, please return Iron Man to me in a timely manner, or you will force me to build a new companion. Hashtag save my pinky.
I'm looking at a picture of his stitched up pinky.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob.
So there you go. Be careful, kids out there.
That's right. And also look out for your Paraguay Falcons.
They're right here in Columbus. The Aaron Rodgers.
I'm very intrigued here. So
he took a picture with his mother.
Yes, he did.
For the first time in forever.
But take me through why, because we know everybody knows that he did not talk to his family. But I don't know that everybody knows why.
Nobody. I don't think it's really that specific.
Okay.
There have been a lot of so-called just leaps of it, which would be just the sibling rivalries. And him fighting with brothers and parents stepping in, and maybe it just goes wrong. They've been really competitive, and now apparently the tensions have lessened.
There's a Netflix documentary called The Aaron Rodgers Enigma.
There is, and he talked all about it, and that's kind of where I was going. So when his brother was on The Bachelorette,
okay.
There was a hometown date.
Ooh, you get to the hometowns, that's top four. Top four.
He got into the top four, Aaron's brother. And he introduced her to his parents.
Yeah.
There was a dinner. Usually it's the other way around, right? She introduces him to her parents.
No, because it's The Bachelorette. So they go to the guy's hometown.
Okay.
Go to the guys. Let me see your life.
Okay.
And then the last date. If you get to the top two, you get to meet her parents.
Right. Because otherwise, it would just be the girl bringing four different guys and having the same date four times.
Yes.
All right. That's mine.
That gets a boing, but my thing earlier didn't.
I was just slow.
Aaron claimed, so at this dinner.
Okay.
For the Bachelorette.
Jordan claimed.
No,
hang on. At this dinner. No, I'm going to give you Aaron's response to what I'm going to say.
Okay. All right.
So at this dinner, and I do believe, and I think Adam's going to co-sign this, I think the producers, when they found out that Aaron Rodgers and his current girlfriend at the time, Olivia Munn, weren't coming to the hometown date to be there at the family dinner, my gut tells me that the producer said, let's leave two empty chairs. Because I do believe they were going to talk about it, that there were some tensions with the brothers.
I don't think they were, I don't think this was like they were waiting at the door for them to show up and they never showed, so they set the table and they, listen.
Do you believe me?
Yes.
I don't believe that the Rogers family wanted to put out there that he's the estranged brother who won't show, and let's exemplify by putting out, like, empty chairs.
There is, if you're out there right now, and you're like, Aaron, if you're watching. If you're like, should I watch The Bachelor? Understand that their producers are the hardest working people in the world. Their producers find every piece of dirt, every crumb about
everything. So they're the best and the worst.
And the worst. Yeah. But they are unbelievable.
Slippery Pete.
Yeah, at their job. And they, the second, I guarantee you, they're like, well, we're going to need two chairs here, guys.
Here's the... Allow me to retort from Aaron Rodgers from The Enigma.
Okay.
He says,
Spoiler alert.
This thing's been out for a while, right?
So, I'm sorry. So has the movie with Bruce
Willis. Do you not want me to read it?
Okay, go ahead.
I was quiet about it because I thought the best way to do it was don't talk about it publicly. And what do? They go on some bull blank show and leave two empty chairs. They all agreed like this was a good thing to do, to leave two empty chairs at a stupid dating show. But like a dinner that was during the NFL season that I was never asked to go to.
Ooh.
Not that I would have gone.
Ooh.
He said. So his father revealed.
So it's like Dom Staveri's party with you and Matty Ice.
That's a good point.
I mean,
there were two empty chairs that you didn't know about, but you wouldn't have gone
anyway.
Yeah, and
I was kind of upset that because we had earned the right to craft a very good excuse
to not go.
Yeah, and he robbed us of that.
I apologize about that. It won't happen again. It'll probably happen again.
His dad, the next three retirement parties.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so his dad revealed to the New York Times 9-10 years ago that Aaron had not spoken to the family since the end of 2014. So you asked the questions, you know, how tensions kind of continued. And so then Jordan Rogers posted on Instagram to acknowledge National Sibling Day. And didn't include Aaron.
Well, that's wild.
Was the other brother.
That's wild.
In November of that year, Aaron revealed on social media that he was donating. Oh, here's another big deal. His parents, Jordan, mentioned that during the California wildfires, where his parents live, Jordan claimed that Aaron never even picked up the phone to call and find out if his parents were okay.
Yeah, see, that's
and nice. Just safe. Now, this is what he claimed. He accused his brother of not reaching out to his own family, as the fires began to spread. All right?
Mm-hmm.
In November of that year, Aaron then revealed on social media that he actually was donating $1 million to people impacted by the wildfires in his home state of California. And Jordan was like, well, that's great. He can afford it. You think you want to check on mom and dad?
Yeah.
And so, because when you're, you know, your own mom is in a home alone during the fires and the car's packed and ready to evacuate and you miss the fundamental step of compassion, calling your parents to make sure they're safe. So you asked the question, what kept this thing going? It seemed like one thing after another kept this thing
also,
going.
You're probably looking for things at that point too.
Yeah.
To just keep stoking the flames, no pun intended.
And it was just, there was like philosophical differences and how they look at life and how they view things, like everybody. And here's the one thing I would say. Aaron didn't go to the other brother's wedding. Luke. The other brother. And Jordan and Aaron, I guess about 4 years ago, had started talking a little bit. But Aaron was not at the wedding of his wedding, of Jordan's wedding either. So he didn't go to either one of the brother's weddings. And now, in an unbelievable moment before his final season in the NFL, he tweeted out a picture, or IG'd a picture with his mom saying, like, let the bonding start or something.
He said, this is a bonding weekend.
Yeah. A bonding
weekend. Here with my family.
Yeah. That was his caption.
And my gut on this is that every single person listening right now probably can relate to something in your family relationship, whether it's cousin, a brother, a sister, a father, anything, where it just goes off the rails a little bit. And sometimes you're stronger for it when you reconcile. And sometimes it takes so many more years. And once the years go by, it's even worse. Because the more time that goes away makes it harder for that person to take that first step. And I'm going to give him some credit here. I think he wants a full circle moment. His parents were so probably instrumental in his athletic career when he was young. And he's had a very successful life. And now he wants to share it with his family on the way out. I think that's what's going on here. I think him retiring was the after this year was the final thing about I want them there when I play my last game. And that would be my prediction that would happen.
I think you start thinking about life after football. And life after football, he wants his family.
But he's had such a life outside of football anyway.
Yeah, but off-seasons. It reminds me of the relationship that Cole and I have.
Oh, this does.
Yes.
But you guys are still talking.
Well, we don't bond on the weekends, though.
I mean, we'll get to that at some point.
Okay.
I was about to say, are you hinting at a volleyball retirement? I'll throw a party.
Yeah.
See? It's those kind of things. He's mean to me, Rothman.
I'm not stepping on this.
We're going to talk
actually,
about it later.
It's a nice pay-per-view thing for me.
We're going to talk about it later.
The SEC Flex is going on. Everybody board
the
lane train. That's next, Rothman.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Good deal of sunshine continues for the rest of the day. Comfortable out there with low humidity. Highs reach the upper 70s. Some passing high clouds develop tonight. Another coolish night with lows in the upper 50s. For your Friday, partly sunny, just a touch warmer, but still not bad. Lower 80s for your Friday. For the Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Anthony once ran the table on the World 9-Ball Champion. Coincidentally, Maddie is out looking for a Magic 8-Ball. Signs point to, this is Rothman and Ice.
All right, Mick Walker, bottom of the hour from Letterman Row. Talk Buckeye recruiting. SEC Media Day is going on. Talk drones today. I've listened to Adam drone on.
That's right.
Not bad. Lane Kiffin watch was an interesting one. Do you guys remember when he wanted to decide whether to stay at Ole Miss or take the LSU job, and then he wanted to coach? Like, he still wanted to coach him?
Yeah.
And then he, like, put up a fight to do it, and then he was basically claiming that his team wanted him, and then there were guys that were saying publicly, that's not true, and guess what? He's finally seen the error of his ways. So at SEC Media Day, he goes, that's the one regret, the messy Ole Miss exit. I wish I would have just said, hey, I'd like to coach the team. They'd say no, and I'd say, hey, okay, I appreciate it, and moved on, never even discussed it again.
I would just like to say, in a giant bubble, like every all-encompassing, SEC Media Days have become just ridiculous. They have become which coach can make the biggest sound bite to be able to go out there and act like he's the future of college football, or act like he's holier than everybody else in college football. Did you see the Florida coach?
Well, you got to admit this first. It helps that ESPN owns the SEC network, correct? Like, it helps that they have that relationship. Like, there's a pushing of the SEC.
But it's not, when we go to Big Ten Media Days, at no point do I think that I'm going to turn around and some coach is going to say, the SEC is a clown show and we are the greatest conference to ever play the game. They don't do it. It's the only media day where it feels like they have to find a way to make soundbite after soundbite after soundbite after soundbite.
Isn't that why you're there?
No.
For soundbites?
To have an actual conversation, to learn. Soundbites aren't real. Like, what Eli Drinkwitz said is not real.
What did he say?
Drinkwitz?
Drinkwitz.
Okay.
I'm fired up, all right? Now we're correcting grammar in the middle of anger.
No, it wasn't really grammar. It's just the guy's name.
When you... He said that the reason that...
Is Eli going to have to drink a whiz?
I just didn't know there was another vowel in there. I thought maybe it was me.
I'll add it wherever I want, all right? He's acting like because, you know, the Big Ten didn't have to play, I don't know, Vanderbilt, that they won a national title. It's just stupid. They just say maybe things. They say that they're going to leave the NCAA like a clown show.
Go ahead.
Great.
I said the other, go ahead.
One of the best tweets that I've seen is, do you know who would be the national champion in the national championship game if SEC left the NCAA the last 3 years?
The Big Ten?
It would have been Indiana, Miami. Would have been Ohio State, Notre Dame, and it would have been Michigan, Washington.
That's right.
There you go. Go get out of here. Have you
make heard like a tree and get out of here?
Make like a tree and leave, you idiot. I was trying to do the. Right. I was doing the other
we were
part.
Doing the other
it
part.
It was a duet.
Okay. Back to future.
Have you heard the Florida head coach Summerall? Have you heard this?
Don't con me, Biff.
Pat Summerall.
You got something here?
No, I got something here.
Okay.
So, Cole, I don't know.
The three conferences, yeah.
No.
The three tenors?
The guy that he yelled at because his phone went off during the presser?
Oh, yeah, he did say, you got kicked out of my meeting so fast.
You're lucky I'm not going to throw this podium right
coaches
now.
Coaches have said that.
Oh, come on.
Coaches have made mock.
It's such a show. Whole week is a show. It's gotten ridiculous.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When you go to Big Ten Media Days, how do you want them to behave?
I want them to answer the questions. You know what's a lot better than saying, we're going to leave.
How behave?
Yes. You know what's a lot better than saying, hey, we're going to leave the NCAA? It's saying, hey, what needs to happen in order for things to get fixed? Nobody at Big Ten Media Days is going to say, we're out of here. We're blowing this popsicle stand. They're going to say, hey, here's where we think. I mean, Ross Bjork talked for an hour and 10 minutes a month ago about all the changes. He didn't give one meaty soundbite that everyone ran with, but he gave a lot of good information.
Are you saying that his press conference was boring?
No, I'm saying that it's people love to clip things. It wasn't.
All right, what is the soundbite from the SEC? I'm trying to find out which one you're so upset. Which coach you're upset
all
with? Drinkwitz?
Drinkwitz?
Drinkowitz?
He drinks the wits and I'm upset with the Florida coach that I heard today, and I'm upset with the...
Is Kiffin still on the...
Yes, Kiffin.
Our conference is the best,
here,
top
yes.
to bottom. All right, let's hear.
3-2-1.
Until we can get to a world where people can actually look at teams and say, that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference, which now I think we aren't even close to doing that, I think it causes a problem.
I don't know if I have any real argument with that. Because they're not playing the same schedule. Well, I know where he's going with it.
You're kidding.
He's still touting the our three losses are better than their two or one, correct? You got to admit this, and I even admitted this. 2 years ago, Indiana hadn't played anybody. They were blowing people out. They hadn't played anybody. All right? Now, it was a very tough thing to judge because they wound up being a pretty decent team in 2024. But they had played FIU and Western Illinois and Charlotte and the Big Ten. They had Nebraska at home, Washington at home. Michigan State wasn't any good. They did beat Michigan at home the week, 2 weeks before they had to play Ohio State. They came here and Ohio State was damn good and they found out. But they played them competitively. They botched a punt, this and that. And then they go and they lost to Notre Dame by 10, but it really wasn't 10 in the playoff. And that's when Sean McDonough did something so unnecessary and just crapped all over them because they didn't deserve to be here. But we can all at least admit they hadn't played a ranked team until they lost to Ohio State. So when Indiana was 7-0 and they played Ohio State in 25, did I know, did you know, did he know that they were better than a two-loss SEC team? We didn't know that.
Hold on.
We didn't. We have to be honest.
Hold on. Cole, can you play that soundbite one more time?
Yeah.
And listen to what he says about not being close to having a system.
Until we can get to a world where people can actually look at teams and say, that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference, which now I think we aren't even close to doing that, I think it causes a problem.
It is.
I don't like the end of that, which is we're not even close.
We play a 12-team playoff. They want to play a 30-team playoff. Like, what do you mean we're not?
No, he's talking about before the playoff.
It's great, but so his argument is the 31st best team versus the 30th best team. That is a stupid argument to have because guess what? Look at Ole Miss last year. They got in. They proved themselves. The team that won.
Well, they were 11-1, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, you have the opportunity more than ever in college football.
Your argument is better with Bama. That was the better argument, right?
No, but my argument is Ole Miss actually won the games. My whole point there is Bama, you could argue, was just as Indiana was the year before. Bama was embarrassing. People thought they shouldn't get in. I guess they did beat Oklahoma, didn't they, in the first round? So there you go. You get.
Yeah, they got in, but that then it comes down to, do you deserve an at bat? Everybody knew that Bama had some talent. And if you give them another shot, the playoff to me is all about, I love this argument, best versus deserving. And when I say love it, I mean I hate it.
Yeah.
Because it really should always be about deserving. Always. There should never be a real tiebreaker on, we just know they're better, based on brand, based on talent. You play the games to determine who deserves to go in the playoff. What he's getting at, which I agree to some point, there's nuance in the deserving part. There is, because nobody plays at the same level all the time.
We're arguing over the 16th and 17th best team. The top 12 teams are getting in. If you don't think that's a good enough system to figure out who the best team in college football is, then I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, if you want 24, we get to 24, then are we a little bit closer, Lane? Are we a little bit closer? Or do we need all 125 teams to get in a playoff? And then you can really tell, okay, this is who's good.
I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's just getting teams into the playoff,
which I think
is a stupid bar, but it's the one that all the coaches care about.
It's the dumbest bar. If you can't get into a 12-team playoff, you don't deserve to complain.
Okay, no. He's not arguing that fact. That's a fact. If you can't get in, you don't deserve to play. That's obvious.
No, you don't deserve to complain.
What he's arguing, though, let's not even argue about his team. Let's talk about Texas. Texas was the team last year. They lost three times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody sitting here that would think that they couldn't have gotten in and made some noise. They could have. It's just a matter of whether they deserve.
Don't lose three times.
I know, but you're also taking away
from them. You don't schedule Ohio State and you just go 10-2 and get in.
You're also taking away from them beating Oklahoma and beating A&M and beating Vandy and beating some that's the argument. The argument is that's a three-loss team that played a pretty tough schedule. Now, you're right. They lost three. If you want to make it cut and dry and just say, hey, you lose three, you're gone. But, I'm trying to be a realist here.
I just don't understand how we've done this.
It doesn't
for
work
100
for every
years.
Team. Well, we haven't done this.
We've done it for 100 years, and nobody.
Well, we did it.
We used to let two teams play. Yeah, we used to not even play the game.
We did it with 12-0 teams.
They voted on the champion.
Yeah, and now
it's evolved. I agree with you.
Somehow 12, and we're not even close. What are we doing?
No, we are much closer.
What are we doing?
What he's really trying to get at, honestly,
ask
to me.
Ask Jim Tressel if they were close. Ask Coop, who lost one game a couple years and could have won a national title if they were close.
Yeah, well, they would have circled back and been a great team.
Yes, 100%.
That's the horrible part about being in that era.
But now we're worried about 9-3 teams?
I know, but some 9-3 teams are damn good, like Texas. They lost Ohio State by 7 points here. Like, how can you say that they weren't a good team?
They were. But
they lost to a top five team on the road.
And 75% of your schedule is going to be conference play too. So it's already like everybody's like in their own silos, and not all conferences are created equal. So that's what he's saying. I don't think he's calling out the Big Ten. I think he's calling out the Big 12 and the ACC.
Here's your best argument. Here's the best argument. The best argument is don't not lose three. Don't lose a bad one. Don't lose a bad one.
And they did.
That's it.
Texas did, at least.
Florida. Right?
Somebody just said deep breaths at him. This is the stuff that gets me worked up. It gets me really fired up because it's this idea.
Have another cup of coffee. Yeah, you'll be fine.
It's just this idea that somehow the whole system is broken. When in retrospect, for 100 years, we found a way to enjoy the sport without it being broken. Now every year it's broken in some new way. The BCS era.
Easy, relax. Have a cigar.
We're going to take a break.
We got to take a break. I'm sorry. I blew
to catch
the break.
Your breath. Mick Walker's coming up from Letterman Row. We'll get his prediction on this and or opinion on it. And also the kid they lost. How impactful is it? Rothman.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie was a big Browns fan.
Scratch that, we mean he's a big fan of the former Browns.
Oh, yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, so there was a lot of talk yesterday about who this kid was going to pick. The all-three-name team. Gabriel Georges.
Yes, and I think you can... Two things can be true. He's going to be a very good running back, and Ohio State will be okay. Two things can be... the Buckeyes gave it their all to get him, but they just fell short.
When you say gave it their all... Is that money or effort?
I think that is. I think it is everything that they feel is appropriate.
That's right.
To continue to build their roster in the most full court press way they could.
Because what I read, you can believe it or not, was that Tennessee gave this freshman running back $2 million to carry a football this year.
That's and to keep the letter zero. That's Mark. Don't forget that.
Which is unbelievable. So this was cool. We haven't had Mick on in a long time, and always admired his work, and he went away, he's come back, and Mick Walker is with Letterman Rowan Rivals, and you wrote a really good story today, I thought, which is that Ohio State, as you say, went all in on this running back out of Canada, and now he's headed to Tennessee, and as Mick writes, they don't really have anything to show for it now at that position, because they did go in chasing him and didn't get him. Now, before you panic, they have running backs, and this kid was for 27, and we know college football now, which is transfer portal and guys coming in and out, revolving door, guys staying, leaving, you never really know, but in kind of an old school way, this would be categorized as a swing and a miss. And Mick is with us now on the Brian Heat and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Welcome back, my man.
Hey, Rothman, thanks for having me on. I got to address Adam's outfit real quick, though, because I turned on the YouTube channel to watch. And I just want to, we're going double senior open, King. You know,
first
I love you, like family, but double senior open on a Thursday is a heck of a choice.
The top one is the actual U.S. Open, but yes, it is double U.S. Open. I'm ready for the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, whatever comes next. I'm ready to roll. America.
All right. So now let's talk about David Gabriel George, because I know that's what you guys had me on for. Like Rothman said, the way the transfer portal takes place and the way everything kind of happens in college football, Carlos Loftin, Ohio State, will have opportunities to kind of right the ship on what happened here with David Gabriel George specifically. But it's clear this cycle and last cycle that they wanted to get a first-round pick type of running back on campus. And they pushed all their chips in for David Gabriel George to be that guy. And now you got into a recruitment with Tennessee, who you've already done this with David Sanders two cycles ago, that you know they will offer things above just money. They'll offer houses or flights or jersey numbers or any starting roles, any certain things that can kind of seal these recruitments. And Ohio State just does not wade into those waters enough to really feel confident they can win those battles when those factors come into play. So that was kind of the biggest misstep, is getting into this battle with a school that you already know is kind of going to bend the rules a little bit, when that's just not how you're going to try and fight.
Mick, first of all, I hope you like my outfit today, walking the dog. GG's.
Great outfit by Cole in the back as well. And I love the CTD in the back. It was really just Adam's double open stuff. I just was surprised to turn on the color match and everything on a Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be 78 today and he's wearing a hoodie, but that's cool.
Brutal world out there.
So how good, in your mind, when you talk to people, I know you didn't scout the kid, but stuff you read, of how much Tennessee clearly believed this kid was worth it. Do you believe Ohio State believed he was worth it to a point? Like, what do you think happened here as far as, because, you know, listen, Ohio State and Tennessee, they could have easily won this battle. This did come down to money. The kid grew up in Montreal or near Montreal in Quebec. He moved to Chattanooga, I think, a couple years ago. Is that why they had such a big edge on him, or was this just based on money and Ohio State was only willing to go so far?
Now, I do fully think that Tennessee did a lot of stuff right on the recruiting trail, like when it comes to building a relationship with not only him, but his family, his uncle, his aunt, everybody involved. But a lot of it I really do think is the financial component. When you look at the $2 million or the jersey or the potential for flights or different things that they're going to offer or his family to be able to get the games. Ohio State just wasn't ever going to do that. But they work very competitive on the financial front. I don't know if they offered a full $2 million. Tennessee might up them a little bit. But he would have been the highest paid running back in Ohio State's room this year. He might have honestly made more than the current Ohio State running back's room makes combined. Like, he would have been very valued by Ohio State. It's just, again, it got into territory was, can we offer these perks? Do we offer these perks? And Ohio State's just never done that, whether it was with this recruitment or David Sanders, like I said, or even Chris Henry Jr. Like, a lot of this just comes down to, can you win it with high finance, like, commitments like they were prepared to make, but also the relationship. And I think at the end of it, Tennessee kind of won over the uncle, which was kind of the final vote or the kind of final voice in this recruitment.
Mick, Mac, Mikolas, mind if I call you Mick? We've seen your tweet, and we've seen the replies to the tweet. Wanted to give you an opportunity to reply to the
replies,
to the replies, to the naysayers that think Ohio State, the wording, I thought your tweet made a lot of sense. I'll read it real quick. Ohio State went all in on Dave Gabriel Georges. Now he's headed to Tennessee and they have nothing to show for it at running back.
In the class of 27. Not nothing to show for it.
When you think about the transfer portal and what is next, where do the Buckeyes go from here? How do they solve? Because understandably, I love what they did. They said this guy is going to be probably the best running back when he is at his prime in college football, and we want him. So where do they go now?
Yeah, you have to, if you're really trying to fill the role that he leaves behind, it probably comes to a transfer portal guy at some point because, again, Ohio State should be good at running back with Bo Jackson being on campus for the next 2 years. You could probably even have maybe 3 years of Isaiah West. And if that's the case, then you can probably mitigate all the loss of David Gabriel George just because that fourth year of Isaiah West on campus could be really good. But we have no real clue on what Isaiah West looks like at this point. So that 2028 running back room, which again is a couple years away, so we don't really fully need to worry about it right now. But you're looking at it, it's just not up to the level where Ohio State has wanted it to be, like, talent-wise. It doesn't really have a guy in there that Ohio State would view as that first-round pick caliber. And again, could there be a Quinshon Judkins type and that enters the portal in the winter, either this winter or next winter? Of course. Then you go out, you spend up, and you get that guy. They have a great 2028 running back committed in Elijah Newman Hall, and I think they'll pursue other highly ranked 2028 running backs like Kevin Hartsfield from Georgia. Like, they're going to get Carlos Locke on a first-round pick caliber running back because they care about the position enough and they're willing to make that financial investment. It just puts the next couple of years of running backs room in a tough spot because you don't have a guy that you can kind of set as the future foundational piece. And I understand it doesn't mess up the running back room currently. Like, it won't change this year, largely won't change next year, but the future of the running back room will need an influx of talent at some point, and it would have preferred to have been David Gabriel George in this 2027 class.
All right. Good stuff, man. I thought it was provocative stuff. That's why we reached out, man. Appreciate you as always. We'll stay in touch. Thanks, Mick.
Appreciate you, Rothman. See you next week, Adam.
See ya.
See you, bud. Letterman Row on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
He really didn't like my shirt.
Yeah, that was the lead. It was even over the lead of losing a $6 million running back, or the $6 million man, which probably would have been a good headline if I was writing it. But, yeah, I think most people believe that since the room is fine.
I don't believe it. In college football today, you should ever worry. You can always find somebody who will
he
be.
He may not turn out to be worth that money. I'm sure he's really talented.
That's a lot of money to pay a kid that's never taken a snap in college.
This is where we are.
They
must believe.
That's TLC money at that point.
That's kind of where I was going with it, is how far did Ohio State go?
Ohio State did everything. Think about this. Ohio State has think of it as like a line in the sand. This is their line in the sand. Mm-hmm. They went all the way to that line, and they said, we are not going to cross this line for a guy that has not played a single snap in college.
They've prioritized the O-line and whatever else, but they've had great, listen, they got Quinshon, right?
Yeah, they've done
some good things. But I think when you say line in the sand, what I'm most curious about is, what was that line? What did they think of him? How much did they think of him?
They were very high on him. Very high. I think they know he's going to be a very talented running back. But they are...
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get to is, did they double Ohio State's offer? Did they beat it barely? Was the tiebreaker him just feeling more comfortable? Money somewhat equal and he just picked Tennessee? Like, these are these are the tough questions that an Adam King needs to be asking.
From what I know, there were a lot of intricacies that went into it, and not just dealing. It wasn't just numbers. It was a lot of, like, you know,
Mick just told you houses.
Well, houses. You're talking about the ability, as he, as you heard Mick say there as well, to get, you know, people to games and to take care of your family and this, that, and the other. There were a lot of, he wanted a lot of different things on a piece of paper that Ohio State has just never done, and they weren't, where they didn't want to get into that ballgame.
All right.
Did you hear it again, Rothman?
Oh, I heard it.
What?
No, every time anyone says family now.
I'm here with my family.
That's going to play. All right, we're going to come back, and maybe I'll sit this one out.
Oh, is this the segment?
Body's working overtime. Jet Greaves avoided arbitration. You guys will not. Rothman.
Your outcome.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties. See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. Still on LeBron James Watch 2026. You missed the show yesterday, which Adam admitted he did. There's a very interesting give and take that I had with Schefter, and we'll replay that at the top of the hour.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
It was more of just a, hey, I'm very curious over the years that you've been covering sports as the insider, when social media teams or media places make a mistake and send out a press release, how often do those turn out to be true or false? And it turned into a pretty good give and take. You'll hear that top of the hour. All right, so I heard a little rumor that, well, I kind of already knew that you guys go out in your jeans and play some volleyball.
We do.
Bare-chested at night, weekly.
Monday nights, we play
a
little.
Is it a competitive league?
What do they call it? What's the actual, like?
Just Flanagan's volleyball?
Okay, I don't know. I thought.
Is it a co-ed thing?
I didn't know if it was like a beer league or not. Like,
yeah, we're in the beer division.
Is that?
There's the athletic division.
No, we're not
and
drinking.
The beer division.
I'm not drinking. I drink a Diet Coke. But we had a lot of fun to start. And the problem is.
You're on the same team.
Yes, and Adam's working on Mondays, by the way.
Yeah, so I for my dinner break, I go away and play. Real
How
quick.
Do you pull that off?
It's fun. Well, I come in at like 10 a.m. on Mondays, so.
Okay.
But
I'm not your boss. That's not, all right.
So, we started out very fun. Fun, loose, having a good time, losing every game. And then we started to win some games, and the intensity ratcheted up. The expectation changed. The standard changed. And Cole and I have come to, he's writing something down. That's does concerning.
I really think this needs to, like, some Kenny Loggins under it or something. Like, this has to have some kind of music accompaniment. Thank you.
And so, right. I feel like we're in like a, okay.
All right, continue.
So, I just.
That's awesome.
The music's amazing.
Playing with the boys.
Now none of us can focus.
Adam and Cole are working, bodies working,
overtime.
All right.
During the regular
time.
I'll just say.
The competition ratcheted
Cole
up.
Cole doesn't like me at volleyball. Right. I don't know if Cole likes me anywhere else, but he really doesn't
because
like me at volleyball.
Because he's the ultra-competitive guy and you're not?
I am competitive. Cole just thinks that I'm the worst volleyball player he's ever seen.
Where do you position him?
I do not think Adam King is the worst volleyball player I've ever seen. I think he is the most unaware player that I've ever seen, and that what he thinks he is versus where he is, there's a giant disparity that causes a lot of problems on the court. I call him a black hole because once you get the ball to him, you're never seeing it again. So there's a passing issue.
You guys are that good?
That's...
No.
Hold on.
First of all, he said we started winning. We've won like twice.
We won two games.
You're on a roll.
Yeah.
I'd say the issue really stems from all of the losing, because when we win, there's nothing to complain about.
Well, when we win, Cole and I did celebrate like we won a national championship. It was a really beautiful moment. It was kind of like when two guys butt heads in the locker room, but
It was more like Cruise, and I thought it was more Top Gun. Like,
yeah, right. It was that.
So
kind
you're
of
saying he's not a guy that sets it up.
I just want to get your thoughts here.
Bump, set, and spike.
His thoughts here. He's not there.
No. I want to get your thoughts.
By the way, I'm taking notes on a napkin because I didn't realize that I was going to be having to take notes. But you said it started very fun. It started very fun because you weren't on the team at first. He walked onto the team.
Walk on.
Was
he a preferred walk on?
No.
I was asked.
He was invited to be the coach. Just because he kept showing up, and then
I was invited. See, this is what I deal with.
And then,
with.
As the coach, he designated himself to be a player while not paying the first couple weeks.
First of all, I did pay.
Then he eventually got his way into paying once he signed up for a new session. So he promoted himself, then became one of the most unaware players I've ever seen at the expense of everybody else around him.
Are you a selfish player?
No. No, I'm not a selfish player.
Then are you not a team guy?
I
do you just not care?
Couldn't be more of a team guy. And
oh my God!
And Cole likes to think that he's the greatest volleyball player that has ever played in the history of the world.
No,
Tommy Toon is very tall.
He's 6'4", and because of it, he does a very good job at smacking the ball over the net.
I think they call it spiking, but
spiking,
go ahead.
Smacking, whatever. Yeah. Long story short, here's where I wanted to bring you in. As our leader, is it not better to just treat someone nice on the court? Like when I subbed out in the last week, he yelled, "Thank goodness Adam's out, we might actually win." How does that in any way promote a fun environment for people to play in?
No, here's what I said.
That's exactly verbatim.
Adam, I'm sure I said that at some point in time.
You did?
But what Adam said was, if I miss one more point, I'm going to retire from volleyball. And I yelled, "Do you promise?"
I mean, how is that in
any way?
And
then he was upset. And then after the game, we have to do the Adam debrief, where he's holding court, where his voice is 20 decibels above everybody else, asking everybody what we thought about how he played. It's all the Adam show on Mondays.
Okay.
Unlike 10 TV.
That's great. This went a lot different than
when
I
Adam
thought.
Returns to work for the 11 p.m. show, it once again becomes the Adam show. Okay. It's always the Adam show.
Okay. All right. Well, this got uncomfortable on air. So,
what'd
you expect?
You joined the team not to be a role player. You joined the team.
We're having fun. We have fun on Monday nights.
The bottom line is, you're saying to me that
I think if you
Cole
asked
is treating
Nicole
it too seriously.
Yes, I think if you asked everybody else, we're having fun.
What happened to not naming our coworkers?
Well, Nicole,
he just broke his own rule. He came in here before.
Okay,
he
I don't want to do this segment. Anymore. I'd like to go to break. This is getting a little ridiculous.
We have until 54.
Let's
40.
Let the man finish.
Okay. Well, I had a conversation before that I had one rule, and now he's trying to out me for...
Yes.
I didn't want to out our coworkers. Nicole is a coworker.
He said, "This is about me and you. We're not naming any other players or coworkers on the team." He came in here. He said, "We're not allowed to name any other names." And now he's saying, "Oh, Nicole was over there." He just broke his own rule that he made for me.
Well, because Nicole is obviously, she's in sports. She's on radio all the time. But I think if you asked our team, they would say we have fun. But this is a good example of how Monday nights go. It's a very beautiful thing. Very beautiful thing.
Look, wow. I'm not trying to act like I treat this like it's all Game 7 of the World Series, because I
does.
Don't. But I like to have fun.
Is there a captain?
No.
Okay.
I think you could argue Nicole's the captain. Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. I mean, if I was out there, you'd want to be a little competitive.
Yeah.
You want to play to win. You know, what's worth doing? It's worth doing well.
Yeah.
So
I try to play to win. I just thought I thought this was more going to be about just being a good teammate and not just yelling things at each other and having a good time. But now it became about it being the Adam show. So this was fun. We have fun. Nicole just commented in the chat, "We have fun."
Well, so, if you feel like you're a detriment to the squad, then maybe you need to.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'll just take a couple weeks off.
Leave the squad.
That's right.
Yeah. But
you know what? This is what we discovered on a Monday here.
See if it's more fun or less fun without you.
I'll say this one last thing. Now, we have won with Adam. But our first win came without him.
That's true. Our second win came without Nicole.
Yeah,
then
it's a wash. Because I don't know who you played. It might be a Lane Kiffin schedule thing.
And
we're finding out that Adam and Nicole are truly oil and water and cannot coexist on the
Maybe
court.
They won the easy game without you. And when you were there,
it's just brutal.
It was OSU Texas, and not Ball State when you weren't there.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll never know. But we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Stay tuned for the next hour of the Adam Show right here.
It's almost as It's like waiting for the decision with LeBron again.
It's
the indecision.
Oh, good tease.
Nice. Well done.
Where are the odds?
And minus 200.
Did a non-NBA insider actually give us the most information? Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
The meatloaf!
The Fan.
Summer to...
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Series finale from Cleveland. The Guardians and Minnesota Twins scoreless in the bottom of the fourth. Gavin Williams has struck out 7 in 4 one-hit innings for the Guards, who visit the Tampa Bay Rays next for 3 games. Cincinnati Reds off today before 3 games in St. Louis. NFL, Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Fernando Mendoza signed his rookie contract today. This year's number one pick signed a 4-year deal with $57.3 million in fully guaranteed money with a 5th-year option. NHL, Columbus Blue Jackets signed goaltender Jack Greaves to a 3-year, $15 million deal, avoiding arbitration. Patrick Kane signed a 2-year deal to return to the Chicago Blackhawks. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.com. The Goes joins Rothman and Ice for Gold Jacket Thursday at 2:30. Hear from Dave Casper right here on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Welcome back to the Adam Show.
Aren't I supposed to be giving that comment?
Oh.
Or that... Isn't that supposed to be my line for today? Third hour of the program, Gold Jacket Thursday, 2:30, Dave Casper. Love him, hate him. He's on the Raiders, beat my Vikes in a Super Bowl. But man, what a legend. Out of Notre Dame at 2:30 on a Gold Jacket Thursday. How many games do you guys have left in this
blanked-up affair over there? We've been playing since March.
That's quite a long season.
This is session like number four, honestly. This is like we did one spring session. This is like summer session number 3.
Is there a playoff?
There is a tournament at the end. It actually...
Tournament of Champions?
The one thing that kind of stinks, and Cole, we haven't discussed this, but it's kind of crazy that the regular season record just doesn't matter at all. There's no
I don't even know if it determines seeding.
No, I don't think it does. And so really the only game that truly counts for a trophy is... it's probably a couple weeks out now. And on those games, we're all very intense. But on the other games, you know, we're having fun. You ever seen, what is it, Family Guy, when Peter Griffin's playing golf with Lois? Do you have that?
I do not. However, I appreciate that you just assumed that I have everything.
You reached over, and so I thought you were going to. He says, we're having fun.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, that'll work. Yeah. That's the same.
I like that one.
But listen. It's a great time. Fun times by all except Cole.
The betting really is whether you'll be on the team before the end of this season.
I will. I can assure you, I'll be there. Whether I'll be playing...
I'd love to see somebody just get face planted into that sand.
So last week, I decided to lay out for a ball. Cole, can you at least say one nice thing? You know, just do I not give effort to try to save a lot of the plays?
Oh, your effort's really good.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing Cole's ever said to me. Wow, this reminds me when they're having a debate and they say, can you say one nice thing about your competitor? Last week I went to try to reach and like hit the ball backwards because it was going to hit the ground. There was no other way. And when I hit up, I didn't think about the fact that I had now removed the only thing to stop me from hitting the ground. And I face planted right in, chin, nose, head, everything in. I stood up and my whole face was just covered in sand. A little concussed, but I'm okay.
Gave a little bit, left a little bit out there.
I leave it all on the court. Sand. All right. I'm just bad at volleyball, okay?
Well, at least we have that admission.
Wow.
I mean, that, by the way, there's the drop.
Yeah.
So that's it.
I'm just bad at volleyball.
So if this team decides that winning is important, then you'll have to obviously understand.
I don't know about that. It's the Adam Show.
It's tough when we made Adam the GM.
That's true. They did name me the GM and call the coach. They restructured.
Yeah, but he wasn't supposed to be a coach player.
No. I was originally the coach.
But the GM sets the rosters.
We restructured things. Cole became the coach. I became the GM. And I'll tell you this much.
Well, Cole's going to actually, the only thing I would advise now is for him to force a trade.
It's a forced trade.
That's all. I would say you need to force a trade.
I have long pitched that we split the team into two teams because, first of all, we have 11 people in the group chat.
Yeah, we do. It's a disaster of a rotation. It's only six can play.
Only six are on the court. And we're there
subbing people in and out. Okay. It's only an hour game. It's chaos.
On my team, every boy gets a chance to play. Don't give me any of that righteous crap. Movie?
Righteous Gemstones.
No.
Oh.
Rhinestone Cowboy.
Rhinestone Cowboy.
I don't think that's a real movie. That sounded like a real movie. Credit for Cole.
Well, it's a real song. I assume it's a real movie.
Credit to Cole there.
I was just going off of Cowboy? Righteous Gemstone.
That would be the original Bad News Bears. All right, from one Adam to the one that's really important, Adam Schefter. Arguably the best in the biz when it comes to breaking NFL news. Now, he came on the show yesterday, as he always does, every Wednesday at 12:30. And I didn't think he had sources in the NBA world. Where I was going with this was that I wanted to know if Miami's mistake was a mistake factually or a mistake by hitting send. Those are two very different things. And I just wanted to know, in his history, do these things usually turn out to be true or false? And he has leaned into the truth that Miami's accident was not the wording they put out, was that they put it out. That was the accident.
But my guess is that doesn't just mysteriously happen, that there's usually smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's number one. Number two, I go back to a text that I got on Tuesday, June 30th at 7:12 p.m., which I'll read to you. And I may have said to you before, you may have asked me the last couple of weeks, I don't remember. But on Tuesday, June 30th, 7:12, the text I got was, heard Bron is coming to the Heat. Just wanted to give you a heads up. You may want to check it out. That was on Tuesday, June 30th. And I told a few people I thought he was going to the Heat, based on that text that I got from one particular individual. And so, there we go. So, I got that text on June 30th. We see that announcement. There's nothing official. Everybody's denying and poo-pooing it. But that's fine. My guess is we'll get an announcement that LeBron is going to the Heat, if I had to guess. That's a guess. My guess. Mm.
We talked about it at the beginning of the show. And, yeah, they can say it's a mistake. But it just... it's just too, there is a lot there. I don't really know how to react to it other than it just, now, my reaction earlier was, would LeBron have given them a week or more of lead time to know about this and for them to feel confident?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think like right after the WNBA All-Star game or something. Like, I don't know what it is. It's not my beat. It's not my world. But there's a strategy to this. Okay, there's a reason that they were allegedly, potentially planning to do this on July 27th. I don't know what that is, but I'm just telling you, like, they didn't just say, like, oh, July 27th. Yeah, my guess is that there are people that were involved in this. They came up with that day for whatever reason, and now we wait to see how it plays out.
And it makes sense.
Yeah. Putting the date on it.
It makes sense because you wouldn't want to do it on a Friday. You wouldn't want to do it on a weekend. Doing it on a Monday makes a lot of sense. And Adam's hearing this from sources, and then we see the tweet yesterday or the YouTube post. It's all adding up that he's probably going to go to Miami.
Let me ask you this, Bart. Obviously, no way you could reveal or want to reveal, but I would say this. The text that you received on the 30th, how would you categorize that text, like from someone in the industry, from someone in the basketball world? Like, how would you categorize it?
I would just say somebody that's usually plugged into information. I would just say that.
Wow.
Well, first of all, I asked that Rothman not share the information that I was texting with Adam Schefter, my sources, but all right, there it is. I have thoughts.
I want to hear those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he said Bron is coming to Miami, or that he's hearing that, and there's, Yeah, I mean, several celebrities have weighed in on where he should finish out his career. Barkley feels very strongly about how he should go back to Cleveland. But this is all based on what people believe would be right for him. And he obviously knows what's right for himself. And the interesting thing to me is that Adam Schefter would have no real motivation in sharing that if he didn't truly believe it. It's not his report. I'm not holding him to it. But I think he would have said, I've heard a lot of stuff. There's nothing. Who knows what to believe? But that's not how he packaged it up yesterday. And he's pretty competent. He said, guess. But if someone's texting him that he values enough to go ahead and share that he got a text, I think that has some weight to it. We'll see if all of this going public affects anything. And I'll get your reaction next, Rothman.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Good deal of sunshine continues for the rest of the day. Comfortable out there with low humidity. Highs reach the upper 70s. Some passing high clouds develop tonight. Another coolish night with lows in the upper 50s. For your Friday, partly sunny, just a touch warmer, but still not bad. Lower 80s for your Friday. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
Two things. What do you know? What does Kelce have now on the LeBron? That switched back? Is Cleveland the favorite again? Or is Miami holding steady based on that news?
Is that where we're leaning on? Kelce? What about...
Cole brought it to the table the other day. We've been watching it.
Like crazy. All right. Kelce's got Miami at 45% likelihood.
Wow.
Cleveland at 29% likelihood. Just dropped to 28.
Uh-oh. So
17% gap.
Your show is actively changing the lines. That's impressive.
Well, the Adam Schefter news has probably changed the lines. Mm-hmm.
Could have a little bit. I mean, he's never simply just signed somewhere.
I don't.
Like, there's always a decision, indecision. Like, when he joined the Heat 15, 16 years ago, Dwayne Wade was already in place. They had gotten Bosch.
Yeah.
And then when he came back to Cleveland to join Kyrie, Val Kyrie, with the understanding that the first overall pick was getting flipped for Kevin Love. So, and then the Lakers, when he signed with the Lakers, was that 2018. Year one was a bridge. The next summer, Anthony Davis got there. So
I don't understand how they can have things like, is it Kelce? Is that how you say it?
Kelce?
Kelce. On
I don't know how Giannis says it in the advertisement.
Like, on something that is a decision. Because somebody somewhere knows LeBron and is going to know his decision before it's public. And could just go and just put their life
that's
savings on.
That's how prop bets work.
But that's
same
not,
thing at the Super Bowl. Yes, somebody knows the color of the damn Gatorade. But, that's why they cap the prop bets.
That, but
so you can't retire on the win.
Well, I would just ask LeBron if he would be willing to just kind of send an envelope to 10TV and 97.1 The Fan so that we can all know before everybody else knows.
Just an Ohio tie, like do a good selling.
Mm-hmm.
All those free agents.
You got Schefter leaking it on your show.
He said it was a guess, but he did.
Schefter doesn't guess.
Put out there that he had received a text that he finds credible. That's how I would put it. All those free agency choices had a common thread that he signed up for a team with a plan. So, I don't know.
I've had enough of the whole thing. That's my take. You want to? You tease my opinion?
Yeah.
I'm done. Let's move on. Not in this segment, like in the LeBron 3.5 week saga.
You don't think he matters?
I do think
I'm not saying in sports in general. I'm saying in the NBA world, when he picks this team,
it
will have impact sports-wise.
100%. I'm saying I saw, and kudos to ESPN, I thought it was a cool graphic. It had the timeline of when he made all the decisions last time. One was like a day, one was 7 days, one was 9 days. This one is going longest. On 3.5 weeks.
Because it's his last one.
Just make a decision. Like, what are we... He's Taylor Swifting this thing. He's trying to drop little Easter eggs and memes, and I'm at this bakery, and I'm at this...
Okay.
He's got people all...
Golfing in New York.
Uh-oh! I'm in Philly. My
Kevin Hart and Draymond Green.
Uh-oh!
So now he's got the Golden State Philly thing associated, because Kevin's a big Sixer fan, and...
Just like a normal person... Getting an hour-long sit-down on ESPN and tell us your decision tomorrow, all right? That's just like everybody else. Come on.
Jim Gray?
Yeah. Is it too much to ask to just get a decision here? You know what's more fun than talking about where he's going? Talking about the team that he's actually going to play for.
I don't know. It's late July. I kind of like it.
I don't. I
kind of like the little run-up.
It gives us something to talk about.
There's no...
Really cut into our time to talk about volleyball, which is upsetting me. Because now we got to talk about LeBron, and that's not what people want to hear about. We should do the show live.
You guys don't believe that Kyrie would be something that he would care about in Cleveland, right?
No. I don't believe that LeBron James is making a decision based on anyone else other than himself. I don't think anybody... He's not going to allow any other person to dictate where he goes.
Well, he is kind of... Because if Giannis doesn't go to Miami, I don't know if Miami's one of the final destinations here.
So that's I think that's a fair assessment, but I would argue that because Giannis is in Miami, he would probably have still thought about Miami, but it piques the interest more. But I don't think he's going to be sitting. Let me say it this way: he's not waiting on anyone else to make his decision. He's not going to sit here and wait on Kyrie. I don't think so.
He may. I'm not saying he's waiting, but he is going through different plans for each team and what they may be able to acquire with him.
Maybe how they'll get him in there. The roster is finalized yet.
That's right. There's no perfect situation, and I think that he's might be waiting to see if Miami's plan is to get some shooters around that team and how they could do it and how much money he's going to need to make or not make to make it all work.
Also, LeBron's a great player. LeBron is one of the greatest of all time. But he's at the tail end of his career here. If you're bringing him in, you're not bringing in, like, Giannis is a better get for Miami than LeBron James.
Yeah, it's a two-year plan.
Do you agree with that, Cole?
Say one more time.
Giannis is a better get for Miami than LeBron.
Well, sure, he has more of a future.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, the idea that, you know, we're just all waiting around, like, this is the biggest decision to shape. It's a big decision for LeBron. It's not going to shape the NBA.
No, but it shapes sports talk.
It does.
You guys are leaving out a little bit.
You think that if...
I think he's an impactful guy that could put a team over the top still, or at least get them to the next level.
He's a key player.
It doesn't guarantee a title, but wherever he chooses, it's going to impact, because he's not choosing it just based on geography or this is going to affect the team.
I think that LeBron is in his... You remember when Dwayne Wade went from the star, the crucial player, to a good guy that wasn't necessarily going to build your franchise? There was this before he ended up in Cleveland. Then when he was in Cleveland, it was all right, his career's done. But that's where I think LeBron is right now. He's a guy that's going to go somewhere and make an impact, but acting like he's going to shape the scope of who wins the NBA Finals, I think that's giving too much credit to a guy that's been in the league for 20 years.
Not individually, but as part of a power
that's
trio,
right.
Sure.
So you don't think that if he went to Philly, that would be...
With Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid.
That would make them probably the favorite in the East, even over New York?
But so let me ask you this. Is LeBron still a top five player at his position in the league this season?
I am not a big enough NBA follower to... He's probably somewhere up there.
I don't think he's top five. I think he's maybe top 10. He kind of rotates around, but maybe top 10 of the guys that you would want to go out. If you remove the name, just make him a player.
I mean, just for the sake of arguing.
Wemby.
The five who box him out at his position.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's Wemby. It'd probably be...
Well, it depends on...
Would it be Kawhi?
What you consider his position.
Yeah, that's why I said he moves around, so that makes it a little bit tough.
Well, we're going to make him a forward.
Yeah. Right?
Let Adam do this.
You can right.
do he's the one who said he's not top five
like
at his position.
Kawhi, Wemby.
So let's hold his feet to the fire. Okay. Who are the top five at LeBron's position?
Okay, so what are you saying? You're saying he's a forward? We're playing him at forward.
It's what you said.
I think he is.
We're typing away now.
Oh, now he's looking away. Up. Okay.
Because I want to see stats. I like to back it up with things. Okay.
I mean, I'm not putting him ahead of Jokic, but that's a center. Like, there's a different... Like,
that's the problem here. Like, would you consider... I mean, Giannis is a forward. Giannis and him would in theory, play the same position, and I would take Giannis 10 times out of 10. I'm taking Wemby 10 times out of 10.
Okay.
I'm taking Kawhi 10 times out of 10. I guess maybe the argument that you get into like a guy like would you rather have Jimmy Butler right now or LeBron James? I think that's a
LeBron James.
Yeah, I think that's a good debate there. I'd rather have KD than LeBron.
Siakam, or you're not doing that.
I'd rather have KD LeBron. I'd rather have
KD. This is not an argument either for future. This is an argument to
right now. Yeah,
win this season.
I certainly would want LeBron over Anthony Davis. I don't know why.
Yeah, because Anthony Davis has skin made of paper and bones made of glass.
I would want Tatum over LeBron.
Yeah.
Take him over Zion?
I'd take LeBron over Zion.
All right, so you're actually countering your own argument.
No, I said he's top 10, but I still named five guys there. I don't think he's in the top five of changing your game. Now, mind you, I think there's a big drop-off. Like, I think it's interesting. It's Giannis and Wembanyama, and then there is just a massive drop-off of, like, game-changing guys.
All right. I don't think he's the absolute difference-maker solo. But you add him to one of these top three, Cleveland, Miami, or Philly, and you've got something. You've got... If they don't have to move a lot of pieces, I think the Cavs would have to move Jared Allen. But Philly, that would be...
Philly, you'd win now.
They'd be the one.
Yeah.
You can win by going to McDaniel GM Superstore. They've been in Marion since the early 1900s. And I know these people, and the transparency and the trust and the family feel is all there. You just go up Route 23, get off at 95, and you are there. So that's the McDaniel GM Superstore. The Toyota store is right up the street, and the deals they have right now are awesome. So we're in late summer. This is the time to strike. Rates are still very good, and all their vehicles, whether it's the 2026 Silverado, the 2026 Trax, the 2026 Equinox, the Traverse, the new 2027 Bolt RS, you can lease for as low as $375 a month for 36 months. Terms and conditions apply. Like I said, it's not a long drive to Marion. It's well worth it. I was just there last weekend. You'll have the best car buying experience, and I guarantee that because Maddie and I both have had that. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. When we come back in 2 minutes, Gold Jacket Thursday, the legendary tight end, Dave Casper of the Raiders. Rothman and Ice in the...
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
All right, welcome back. You know, there are only 382 men to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. 14 of them went to Notre Dame. And one of the 14 was arguably the most versatile athlete to ever wear the Golden Dome. In fact, his coach, Ara Parseghian, said he was the best athlete he ever coached. And there's a lot of evidence of that, of his versatility and athleticism. The captain of the 1973 Notre Dame National Champs and a Pro Football Hall of Famer, tight end Dave Casper. Give us a little feeling on why Notre Dame was right for you.
Well, when I was recruited at Notre Dame, I was fortunate enough to get there because I wasn't heavily recruited. But there was a thing that happened between Ara Parseghian and some of his old assistant coaches, and I was being recruited to a smaller school, and he picked up that I could run. And I guess the story is wasn't going to go to the school, and then he called up Ara Parseghian, and they came after me. And so I finally got recruited. But when I got recruited at Notre Dame, the guys were the nicest people. I looked to Wisconsin and another school, and the guys were all trying to, like, show how great football players who were, and the guys at Notre Dame were going to class and doing stuff and just being really nice people, and that's what attracted me, just how nice they were. And, you know, so even if I would have never played a down, it was never any good. you know, I could be on the team with these guys and enjoy it and get my get my degree and move on down the line. So it was just a nice place to, I just was just happy being there.
Dave Casper with us, legendary tight end from Notre Dame, the Oakland Raiders, and a lot more. You mentioned that 77 AFC divisional playoff game against Baltimore, the ghost of the post when you kind of pull what they call a Willie Mays and run under that football from Kenny Stabler, and then it leads to that double overtime victory. Do you view that as the best catch you ever made?
No, actually, the catch wasn't that hard. My adjustment was kind of good. People were moving in the secondary. I got open because I did get rid of my guy, but there's people out there, and Snake didn't throw it to me. He threw it to an open spot where the other defenders that were kind of circling around there couldn't get to. And when I looked, I did make a quick adjustment. So the ball came right straight down over my head, and those are really kind of fairly easy catches the way it was. I mean, the ball was right there, and I caught it. It was just fortunate for me to have made a real quick adjustment to move, you know, 3 or 4 yards to the right and get under the ball when I looked up and it was there. And so it was, and it's kind of been a nice thing. People, all, you know, it's one of the top 25 plays. You know, it's always, thank God I did it in the playoff game. So,
did you feel you had a special relationship with Ken Stabler?
You know, Snake was about 5 years older than me, and we talked in practice. And, I mean, I didn't go out there and say, I've got this one or throw. I never asked for a pass. Snake was an amazing guy. He could look out there and just see what was going to happen. So, I mean, I would just run routes, and we in training camp when I first was young, I'd run routes, and he knew what I was doing. He could tell by the way I'd run where to throw, what I was going to do and when I was going to break, and he was very accurate at getting the ball there. So I think anybody who was catching Ken Stabler passes was going to catch a few extra just because of how he could figure out where you're going, and he could make those adjustments. And you just had to count on him. But we never really hung out as a duo or anything like that. We were just two guys doing our jobs, and we didn't really talk a lot. We'd chit-chat here and there and maybe make a joke. But, I mean, it wasn't like we went out and drank and talked about football or anything like that. He was snaked at his deal, and you know, I just tried to do my deal.
Dave Casper with us, Pro Football Hall of Famer. You have been involved in two of the most famous plays in NFL history, the 77 divisional playoff game we talked about, and then obviously the one, the Holy Roller in 78. Stabler's getting rid of that football. Looks like he's trying to pass. They call a fumble, and you're kind of stumbling through it, and if you land on it before it gets in the end zone, the game's over. It has to get into the end zone. And so you were kind of what, how would you put it, accused of kicking the ball? When I see the highlight, it looks like you were doing your best just to get a hold of it. For the record, Dave, what's your view of the Holy Roller game?
What you said was correct. I was trying to pick the ball up, and it bounced over my hands, but I was keeping my legs really narrow. So when the, even though the ball got under my hands, my legs, you know, kicked it back forward. Now, I didn't, you could advance the football about any way you want to, as long as you're advancing it. You can't punt it. You know, well, you can always punt the football. People may not know that. I can be in the middle of the game and just punt it, and it turns into a punt. And, you know, they can return it, and we can down it. But I didn't kick the ball like a punter. I was just advancing the ball. It would have been a lot easier for me to have been coordinated enough to just pick it up and run in. But, no, I had to miss the ball and kick it back to myself. And then if you'll, then I could see, while I was doing this, I was looking at the ball, obviously, I saw the big wide stripe go by. And then I knew I could, and I had to fall carefully on it. And I've jumped on more than one fumble and missed them and bounced them out of the way. So this thing was, I was trying to be careful, but it was really kind of a klutzy play. I was just lucky I didn't kick the ball somewhere else. And then Pete Banaszak was in between us, and he batted it forward, which is fine. This was all stuff that happened, just happened. And then I was this klutz that came in at the end and fell on it. And it's a great play. And they made rules and so you can't do it anymore. But at the time, I mean, what's Snake going to do? He's not going to take a sack. He's just going to let go of the ball.
Dave Casper, the Hall of Fame tight end class of 2002 and one of the 14 Notre Dame alums included in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the exhibit, gold helmet to gold jacket. College, you won a title. High school, I believe you're unscored upon in high school in your final year. You win a Super Bowl with the Raiders. Anything stand out to you above the others?
the national championship and the Super Bowl are both big, and the national championship was kind of special because, you know, we were friends. You know, we're kids on the same team, and we went there for many reasons in addition to football, because it was the Notre Dame thing. So I think the Notre Dame relationship is something that is very hard to replace, although I think I'm friendly with the Raider guys too. I still hang out with the Notre Dame guys because we just have so much in common, and we have a lot of other guys, you know, like there's 14 of us are in the Hall of Fame, and some great other guys I'm sure will come to this exhibit and be there here and there, and because we just have so many really good guys.
You played for a couple of iconic coaches, and Ara Parseghian that we talked about, and then John Madden. Was that an adjustment going from college, from Ara, to playing for John Madden in the pros?
Madden, you know, when he was a broadcaster, he was very entertaining. But when he was a coach, he wasn't entertaining. He didn't say much. He practiced. He just told, here's practice, do your drills, do your stuff. And we went down the line, and it was very similar to Ara Parseghian. You know, he did not, you know, say as much as you'd think he would have said, and he was just coaching, you know. So they were both great coaches. I think Ara was a coach that probably knew more of the detail of what he was doing than he was an assistant, where John got a lot of good assistant coaches, and, you know, he made them, but they both were teachers. They would teach you how to play football. They didn't tell you what they wanted you to do. They'd teach you how to do it, and they get good assistant coaches to teach you the skills you need and run the drills and stuff like that. So they're both very good coaches. John was a little bit, once he became a broadcaster, he became something that you wouldn't have recognized if he was a coach. He would have never said many words at all during practice. But you know, he knew what he needed to do when he needed to do it. So he's one of a kind.
What did you think of Freddie Biletnikoff and the Stickum and that whole era?
What the Stickum did, in my opinion, and I used a little bit of Stickum. I'm a tight end. Your hands are in the dirt all the time. All you're going to get is dirty hands. But you would keep a little bit of Stickum on that and on my inside of my arm because it stopped fumbles. I mean, the catching the ball, you had to kind of be careful because sometimes it'd be too, you know, catching with Stickum can also mean the ball doesn't go into your hands far enough. Then finally they outlawed the stuff and we couldn't use it, but, you know, and it didn't make a killer difference, but I do know that I didn't fumble the ball when I had Stickum on. And I thought it would be smart. Anybody on earth who's a receiver that didn't put on Stickum would have been crazy not to have tried it because it helped you.
From a small town kid from the Midwest to achieve everything you have, it's that you're immortalized in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Rule number one in life is get on a good team.
And you did, and you made the most of it. Dave, this was a pleasure. Thank you. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You got it. Dave Casper, tight end, class of 2002 in the Canton. Played for an iconic franchise in the Raiders and the team that beat my Vikes in that 77 Super Bowl. And they were as dynamic as any team you'd ever want to learn about. They were a little bit of like the Chicago Bears in 85, and that they had umpteen personalities. But I think it was really interesting to hear about how back in the day, when he chose to go to Notre Dame, he wasn't highly recruited. And he was, you know, these are offensive linemen that get turned into tight ends. But he turned himself into a second round pick and then became a Hall of Famer. Like I've always said this, when I do the Gold Jacket stuff, and to me it's honestly the most fulfilling thing I've ever been able to do in broadcasting, because I'm talking to guys that I grew up as a little kid watching. And that's the surreal part of it for me. But I think that when you hear Hall of Famer, you just assume that they're all talented, can't get there without being so, but that they're all just ready-made, that they would always have been there no matter what. And we know in a team game, it's not that way. You got to have a lot of luck. You got to have a lot of timing. And then you got to be great. And you have to have a coach that believes in you. And you have to have players that come and go and you find a way to fit in. It's like anything in life. It does take timing, but the best of the best find a way. And he was one of those guys that was as reliable as any guy. And he only played about 6.5 years for the Raiders. He got traded to the Houston Oilers. And the ironic thing about his trade is that he followed Stabler. And, you know, I asked him about the Snake and their relationship, because Snake was such a wild man. You can go back and read all about him. But there was a connection there. There certainly was, and they got to do it a couple different times. We'll come back and tell the truth. Rothman.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, a couple things here before we tell the truth with TLC. The one area I would agree upon with you, because I think LeBron deserves the right to make the best decision for himself. How long that takes is anybody's guess. But the report that he was reportedly irritated with Adam Silver,
that's crazy,
pushing him for a decision. Now, I don't know how much Silver is pushing him, but clearly they want to get the schedule out in early August. And I guess if you believe it, that LeBron's camp was ready to make an announcement last week, but then decided to hold off and that Silver was rushing his decision. Well, isn't that the ultimate compliment? That we're waiting on you to set the entire league's schedule? Like, why would I could have irritated seems to be the wrong word. Like, this is all for media. Maybe they're just throwing out words and that Adam Silver really isn't. Like, maybe he is giving him the ultimate compliment. Like, we do want to wait for you. Can you keep us in the loop on the timing of your decision? Maybe it isn't exactly that, but this is what's been written about him, that LeBron is holding up the NBA schedule because of his free agency dance again.
I just think it's a little bit silly, and I'm sure for Adam Silver, it's fine, but like it's gone on too long. There's a world where this thing takes more than a month. I mean, that's a little ridiculous, and to be irritated that the commissioner wants to make some decisions about the upcoming season, that's a little ridiculous.
The other big news on a guy that has made a decision.
Yes.
And this was coming, but it's always big when you can get it confirmed, is that Brady Edmonds is going to be an Ohio State Buckeye.
He locked down his commitment. And that's the real thing. It's funny because, like, I think about with you know, Gabriel Georges that everyone's talking about. All these guys, their commitments take forever. So until you get a guy that says, like, I am 100% not going anywhere else. Obviously, I don't think DG.
Tell the folks who he is.
Brady Edmonds. He is a 2027 quarterback. He's been committed with the Buckeyes since 2024. But when you get a commit that early, it's hard to keep the guy locked in. He is locked in with Ohio State. He's shutting it down.
Did he flip from UCLA?
He did.
He was considering flipping to UCLA.
That's all right. He was considering going to UCLA.
Shut it down now.
He said, shut it down.
Yeah. UCLA, lose the grid or lose your job.
UCLA put what we like to call the full court press on him. And he said, let me tell you something. Little RD and the Woody, Ryan Day, we're gonna go chase a championship together.
Just John Gruden. Let me tell you something about this guy. Number 20 quarterback, number 251 overall player in the 24/7 sports composite rankings. Has held its commitment to Ohio State since December of 24. That's a long time for a guy to remain committed. And everybody probably was coming after him.
December,
he's not going to play right away. But
and you know what? December 24, he was watching the Buckeyes go on that national title run. He said, this is going to be me one day. This is going to be me.
Well, it's weird because Nico's going to be gone from UCLA, right? So he would have had a chance to go in there.
But I mean, comparing UCLA and Ohio State,
of course not.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was actually ever a thing. I think anybody can say they're putting the full court press on. Anybody can say he's considering to actually do it as a whole other
Maybe
thing.
He was waiting to see if somebody would, quote, ante up.
Or, and this is always a thing, you want to make sure that Ohio State's committed, too. You wanted to make sure no other guy commits, and, you know, and I like that. I'm glad he locked it in. You gotta do that.
So it would have been right after his sophomore season.
Yeah. He was just, 16 years old? Probably couldn't even drive a car. Might have been 15 and a half. And he said,
Didn't even have a permit, you're saying.
You know what's interesting?
Just
I saw
rode
somebody,
his bike everywhere.
I saw somebody in a car today. It was one of those student driver cars. But it had all over the car. It said, something driving school. And I look in the car, And there's like obviously someone who's learning how to drive, but there's no instructor in the car. That's what I thought. I was like, what is happening?
You sure? So you scouted it correctly? It looked like a student
driver?
We
came to the stop together, so I was able to really scout it out. Because there were a couple moves when they were in front of me where I was like, yep, this is a student driver. And then we scouted it out, and I'm like, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be doing this on your own. Like, I don't think you're supposed to get out on the course by yourself.
Maybe it's an AI driver.
Oh, my gosh, that's horrifying. Instructor. You think it's a Waymo instructor? I was like, oof. Or somebody stole that car. One way or another, it was a good story, whatever was going on over there.
So you're saying that somebody licensed need to be in that car?
I don't know that there was a licensed person driving that car.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Maybe the instructor was, you know, laying down in the back seat, taking a quick nap, felt safe, but I did not see.
I don't even think it's supposed to be just licensed. I think you got to be licensed and like 21. Like if you have a permit and let's say you have an older brother and they have a license, I don't even know if.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I think they have to be 21. I think like if I had a permit at 15 and my brother was 17. I don't know if he could be the one.
He cannot. You're right. Yeah. It's got to be 21. I will tell you.
I went to get my license, I went and my best friend and my stepdad decided to go with me.
Okay.
I'm like, you guys are not. So we all got there and I was in my mom's car and my stepdad was like, all right, we're going with you. Like, please do not do this.
Yeah.
My best friend and my stepdad are in the back seat and they're like just waiting for the instructor to come out. I'm like, get out of the car. You're not going with me to put pressure on this. And I remember getting out and telling them to get out. And then somebody, whether it was my stepdad accidentally or me, slammed the car door on my hand.
Oh, my gosh.
At the driver's test.
No.
And I wound up taking the test anyway. But this nail has never really grown back fully.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a lifelong.
Yeah, somebody, how about that?
Somebody in the comments said it could have been an instructor just driving like a crazy person. That's accurate.
Yeah, but you're a fine scout of young people.
It didn't look like an assistant. It didn't look like a scout.
You've combed high schools before, and you know exactly how old people are.
All right, let's.
Right, Cole, does he not? Can he not identify a 15-year-old or under?
Okay, all right. Guy? Well, this show has gone off.
Whoever in the chat said that.
It's been a great day on Rothman and Ice. We appreciate you stopping by. Don't forget to check out your local Paraguay Falcons.
Peregrine.
And Peregrine Falcons.
And as Snagglepuss says, maybe I'll go heckle a volleyball league next
Monday nights at Flanagan's. Come watch Cole and I yell at each other. It's one of the best weekly traditions in the world.
You can watch Adam stalk young drivers on the road. Yeah, to find out who the students
Rodman
are.
Rodman and Ice on the fan. No,
we're not done yet.
Go ahead.
At 54:40.
Oh, I thought it was 54. I'm sorry.
No, at 54:40, then you can give us the name of the show.
What's
the
coming
of the
up
station.
Tomorrow on the Rodman and Ice?
You guys going to be in here?
Not here.
I think we'll be here.
Who's with you?
Vejas.
Cole already, you're not supposed to say you're not going to be here, Cole, because there's like one person that tunes in to listen to you, and now they're not going to tune in.
I know.
That's true.
It's brutal.
So,
Radio 101,
coming up on Common Man and Timmy, right after us, they're going to go around the Big Ten with ESPN's Adam Rittenberg at 3:30.
Nice.
Another Adam more important than you.
Hey.
My goodness. Three Adams.
You just keep swinging.
Thanks for coming in on your day off. I know it was rough.
Hey, this was a lot of fun, except for when Cole bullied me. But other than that, it was fun.
You guys should start selling tickets to this volleyball league. I think we got something here.
We might build something. You could do a live broadcast from there.
We need to promote some fights and things like that.
I'm all in.
Thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon. Keep it locked here right now.